process down.
Happy Halloween, everybody. What are you guys doing? What are you guys dressing up as for Halloween? I am doing something really cool, which this comes out before Halloween, so you guys won't get to see that, but today's guest is one of my all-time favorite people in the history of the universe and the history of my life. Miss Holly Stone is here, which I hate saying Holly because it's just like so weird because she's my high school theater director. She has influenced my life so much, and calling her Holly after having to like call her Miss Stone for so many years is just like a trip for me. So we're just gonna go with Stone. That's what I've called her for the beginning of the time that I've known her. She's incredible, and we go through a bunch of funny stories and memories that we have in the years that I was her student and she was my director. We geek out over a lot about theater, so if you're into theater, this episode is definitely for you. I would also like to say that I will be skipping next week because of the election, and fingers crossed that this is gonna go the way that we need it to in America. So, because of all the hype about the election and everything that's going on next week, there will not be an episode next week, so feel free to catch up or listen to Miss Stone's episode 100 times if you want. I really hope you enjoy it, and happy Halloween, everybody. Get to dress up for work, but we have to keep it like family friendly because
it can't be the mean girls like hoochies.
No. Well, also it can't be too scary, and I love doing like
because you're working at
Domino's.
Domino's, that's right.
So I'm delivering pizza to kids.
So you're like,
Well, last year I did mermaid makeup, so I did like tights on my face, and then the year before that I did like a zombie on half of my face, so it looked like my face was peeling off.
Cool.
But that's, like, the extent of how scary you can be, so I'm trying to decide what to do this year.
Well, that'd be, like, the problem, like, with, like, you could do cool grease paint, but then you also have grease paint all over your face, and then it smears everywhere, so it's, like...
And also masks, because we have to wear masks at work, too, so...
You could maybe do a cool makeup where it looks like something's crawling out of the mask.
That would be cool.
Like a sort of like a little octopus or something. Oh, and then you can do the scale thing again.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I might do that.
Steal it, take it.
I was like, I need to find a way to make like a see-through mask.
So you can get them. Because I did a show with a group this summer, and we had clear masks, and all.
Really?
It was just a slight foam here, and then a slight foam on the chin.
Like a show? Like a theater show? What was it?
Godspell.
Oh. You like Godspell, don't you? You done it? Like, how many times have you done it?
A lot.
That's okay.
Yeah, we did it at a church, so, and I was with some of the school, like, some of the seniors from some of the kids around the district.
Mm-hmm.
So, technically they were adults, so I didn't have to get permission or anything. So
right.
They're adults, they can make their own decisions.
We had, I have a coworker who's partially deaf, so when the mask thing first started, I wanted to make one of the clear masks so that she could read lips. But then Domino's was like, you can't wear those. You have to wear the Domino's mask.
Branding.
Yeah, whatever.
Boo.
So you use this for a YouTube channel?
I'm using my mic for voiceovers and stuff like that. Like, and I filmed my old age makeup tutorial Tuesday. You probably saw those.
Yeah, I did.
So one of my friends messaged me and says, you look like this person that we used to go to, like, they were an older person that was, like, getting their non-traditional degree in theater when we were going. She's like, you kind of look like her. I was like, Me, it's okay. I'm fine. I was like, that was Bubby. That's her name. She's a Jewish old lady, and she likes scarves, okay? That was my boobies.
We love that.
We love it. So, yeah, that, I have to do the voiceover for that, so I have to take that home and do that this weekend. Because I plan to do, like a bruise and, like, cut makeup tutorial as well.
I might be watching that. Usually. I remember a lot of the stuff that you taught us in school, but some of it's just, it's gone. Yeah, no, can't totally remember a lot of it.
Because if you don't do it a lot, then it's like,
yeah. What? My sister wanted me to do a fake bruise on her for school one day to get out of doing something. And I was like, I can try. It didn't look good at all. Okay, well, hi, Miss Stone.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I wanted to be like, hi, Holly Stone, but then I got a little freaked out. It's okay. I don't like it.
It is all right.
Do you have any of your older students call you Holly?
I feel like none of them do. Like, I give the option. Like, you can call me Holly now. We are both adults.
Yeah.
You're no longer, like, my actual legal student. So you may call me Holly.
You can follow me on Instagram now.
And I don't know, like, any of them actually do.
Yeah, no.
Which is weird, but I'm also it's okay.
It's just weird to say that. There's, like, that line in Mean Girls when she's talking about seeing her teacher outside of school. How it's like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs. That's pretty much the
equivalent. I always like imagine it like sometimes when I'm like in the summer during normal times.
Yeah.
I'll be like out somewhere and I see a student and I'm like, get away from me. And like I'll avoid people if I notice them. Like, I know you're probably like, oh God, that's Mr. Let me go over this way. But I'm like, I'm like, if there's students I see, I'm like, turn left. Exit stage right.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as I left the school building, I'd be like, all right, no youth. Please, no youth talking to me. I don't want it.
Like, give me a break. But then, you know, I get so close to my students that, there's been many a time someone has called me mom.
Oh, yeah.
On purpose, on accident, sometimes both.
Yeah.
I've had a student in the past who put my name in her phone as Mama Stone, and she would accidentally call me when she was trying to call her actual mother. And so, like, I would be like, hi, so-and-so, and they're like, Mom, I'm gonna go to this. I was like, Carly, this is Miss Stone. Oh. Okay, that was for my other mom. All right, bye!
Bye!
And I was like, cool.
You take that pretty well, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Like, I don't have any children that I have birthed or that I take care of after school, so it's kind of nice. It's kind of a nice way, like, maybe eventually one day I'll have my own children, but I'm like, I'm fine.
I'm fine
with these children, because these children are already slightly grown up and I don't have to pay their bills.
Yeah, you don't have to take care of them and feed them and do all that stuff.
I mean, I do. Sometimes.
Sometimes
I've had. Many a time have I paid for someone's, like, sandwich that they were like, oh, I'm just not going to eat. Everybody else is having Whataburger, but I will.
Like, oh.
And then I'll be like, come here. Come here. Or I'll be like, hey, Taylor, find out what he wants for lunch. I'm going to buy it.
That's so sweet, though.
You know, I would like, I'd like to feed the children's, and I don't have like a crazy amount of like bills that much right now, right. But I will
eventually.
Yeah. So I don't mind $10 here, $10 there. I've bought kids pairs of shoes before.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really sweet, though.
And I was like, they're my babes.
So you are like a mom, just not by.
Yeah, I don't have to take you to the doctor.
Yeah.
And I don't have to, like, when I don't have to, like, I can be like, okay, that's a real mom, like, your biological, your
go talk to
your
her
guardian.
About it, please.
That is a thing that I do not feel comfortable talking about.
Yeah, all right. Okay, bye.
It's best of both worlds.
Yeah. That's what I want. Like, I would like kids, but I don't want to be totally responsible for them.
Yeah.
Just, like, hang out with them and then be like, okay, bye.
Okay,
like,
bye.
That's it.
I was like, be a youth program or something like that. Then you're like, okay.
All right,
then I can.
Great.
I don't only have certain legal requirements to you.
I love that.
It's like certain legal ones.
Right. You're one of my top requested guests. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. A lot of it's you, Miss Crumno, and Bailey Owen, and my mom. Everybody's like,
that.
Have them on.
I love that.
I'm working on Bailey Owen. He's just a busy bee. So.
I know. How dare he?
I know. Go to college.
And, you know, usually in the summer, me and Bailey will get together. usually here, actually, at really? Starbucks and get coffee, and he'll we'll talk about theater and talk about how he's doing, and I'm like, oh, proud. I've gone to his shows, too.
Really? I really wanted to go to one, but then I didn't.
COVID also happened, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I saw he did Tartuffe, which is one of my favorite, like, all-time plays just in general, and he did it, and he was, like, so good in it. And then he was in, I went and saw him in Oklahoma.
Oh my gosh, that's the one I wanted to go to.
And I, you know, usually I'm like, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's, you either, people, it's very polarizing people for Oklahoma. They either love the musical or they absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
And I was like, kind of like, it's kind of boring. And, blah, blah, blah. And then they did such a good job. I brought my mom along because also, as a trek, and we shared driving responsibilities, and we, like, both me and my mom were like, this is, like, profesh. Like, this professional. Is this is good. Like, my mom's like, I thoroughly enjoyed this. This is, like, what I might expect to see, like, at Fair Park. And I was like, I'm, like, so proud.
So proud.
And he was funny and stuff like that, and I was like,
he's had such a big glow up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not to make this entire thing about Bailey Owen.
I mean.
Which we could if we wanted to. He's had such a glow up from, like, the short little kid in Charlie Brown to, like, now. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He's, like a man now.
I know, it's really weird. Was,
like, in a weird way, I'm like, you're like a man.
Yeah.
You're, like, a full-on man now.
Last time I hung out with him was when I graduated high school and I moved back here. And he picked me up one day and we went to a costume shop in Dallas. And I was like, this is so weird. He's taller than me now.
Okay, he's taller now. And I'm like, well, how dare you? I remember when he was, like, at my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I, you know, I'm short. So, like, Bailey was pretty short then. And then, like, I feel like it was really his senior year that he started really growing. But then it's like when you're away from someone and then when you come back, then you really notice all the things. You're like, you sort of have facial hair, and that's weird.
That is very strange.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Your voice is deeper
now. Yeah. So, and his voice deepened. Do you remember? You're like, huh. You'd have little moments, and you're like, oh, Bailey. But now he's like a man, and like, almost done, gonna be graduating, I think, in December?
Yeah.
Which I was like,
that is so strange.
Crazy.
No, it's been 7 years since I was a freshman in high school. I was like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
2013. That is so weird.
Is it, I know. Every time I think about, like, how long I've been teaching, and I'm always like, oh, it's not that long. And then I was like, I do my, like, back-to-school introduction to me. This time it was virtual.
Oh,
no. You know, has fun, that would be.
Thank you, COVID.
Thank you, COVID. I was like, and I've been teaching for 11 years.
Then it really hits you in the face.
How dare my phone? Sorry. I'm going to turn her off.
That's okay.
Shush.
How dare you?
It's honestly. It's one of my students. It's my president.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I still have my phone number. Everybody has it.
I still have your phone number.
It has not changed. And I will not change it.
Yeah.
Ever. I was like, I have had this cell phone since 2003.
Oh my gosh. That's a long time.
I know. I was like, this phone number is older than most of my students.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost older than my sister.
So, like, imagine this. It's like, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
10 years teaching, you know, a 17-year-old cell phone number, you know, just the years start, like, adding up, and I go, but I don't feel, like, to me, I don't feel, like, I don't want to say old because I'm not old.
Yeah.
But I feel like people see me, like, kids, like, I'll go, I've been teaching 11 years. And they'll be like, oh, gosh, she's old. And I'm like, ah!
No, I'm not. I promise.
I promise. I'm down.
I'm down. I know the lingo.
I watch the TikTok.
That's the one thing I don't do.
I just watch it.
Really? I watch it if people send them to me. And I really like the theater ones that people send me.
The ones that are always trendy for me are pets.
Oh, yes. Always
pets.
Always.
Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of, like, Star Wars, like, thirst traps. I don't know how, like, male thirst traps.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know. Okay. And I'm like, way, but okay. And then, teacher stuff. And I just watch them. Though, there's this really cool thing now on TikTok, which I think would be a great acting exercise, is where you duet, you know, the duets.
Yeah.
You can have, someone will give you lines and they're reacting. That's cool. And yeah. I was like, I wonder if I mean, I'd have to see if my school would let TikTok actually, you know. Can, I was like, I need them to turn in, I need them to be able to access TikTok on their phone. Do you think y'all can approve that?
Is it banned at school?
I don't know. That's a good question. Right. I don't try to open mine at school because I don't want to think kids be like,
what are you doing?
They're like, why is that like random TikTok song playing on your phone, miss? You're like ancient. Because they're always ancient. Like, you millennials, get off of TikTok. And I was like, like, no. I just look, though I do kind of want to do the scene once because I was like, ooh, fun acting challenge.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, literally no one will see it because no one will follow because I'm like, don't follow me on TikTok.
Please don't.
People that can become that TikTok famous, I'm like, you go. But
you,
I was like,
you go ahead, but not me.
I'm good. I just like to watch them. They're a good time suck.
Yeah, I've heard that people get on there and go in there for like 3 hours.
Yeah, and then you're like, look up and you're like.
That's me with Pinterest, though.
I on Pinterest all day. You like, you click one and then it suggests more and then you keep scrolling.
And then
you like,
click on one and then click, do the same thing. Yeah.
And you're like, you get like in a vibe and then it starts showing you all the things that you were like, you didn't know about this, but this looks like what you were looking at.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, stop watching me, but please don't. But keep those pins.
Yes.
Like, right now, mine is full of fall stuff.
Oh, mine too. Fall and Christmas. Yeah. I know I'm really early on Christmas stuff, but...
There is nothing wrong with it.
No.
Nothing wrong with it. Just keep Christmas in your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that, like, we're, like, due to, like, reasons, we can't perform right now in person. So, I have a first piece we're doing, but I've picked a piece for my kids to do in December that's, like, a Christmas radio play.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
So, if we can't do it in person, then we can do it, like, sort of podcast style.
That's really cool.
And then our tech kids can do the Foley, the fake sound and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So, we can do that. But if we can do it in person, we can still social distance because it's a radio show.
Oh, wow.
So, I was like...
Smart thinking there.
Yeah, and I was like, it'll be fun, it'll be happy, it'll be silly. Christmas makes people... generally happy.
Yeah.
Yet hope. Goodwill. All that thing. And it's not, like, particularly, like, Christ-centric.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'd be down for it, but I respect all my kids so much that I was like, I don't want to force, like, Christianity down anybody's throat.
Right.
If you want to know about some Jesus, you just let me know. I'm talking to you about Jesus. I'm not going to push you.
Right.
It's just more like that good holiday feeling. And it's
love that.
Like set in 1944, so it's like talking about World War II.
Ooh.
So I was like, oh my gosh, if we can do it in person, I want to do the cute little victory roll hair and stuff that on the girls and stuff. And yeah, but even then, like, we'll have rules about, like, no one can share anything. Yeah. Literally no one can share anything. Like, even, like, as a teacher, I have to have gloves and, like, to give stuff to students.
Oh my gosh.
And like, I have to spray down every desk or table between every class.
Oh. Gosh.
We have a dirty a dirty chairs. I have a lot of chairs, so they take their dirty chairs and they stack them. And then at the end of the day, I clean them all.
Oh my gosh.
And then I put them back where the clean stack. It's a lot of cleaning. I became slight maid, but it's fine.
Teacher maid.
Teacher maid. It's about the same,
Mom.
You know, Mom. Just add the list. Keep going.
How have you heard anything about one act? Can
no,
you guys do one act yet?
We don't know yet. So we're planning, like, knock on, you know, my wooden leg.
Something has to be made of wood somewhere.
As I say, it's my wooden leg, you know. Start that rumor. I've got a wooden leg.
Yes. there we go. All over the internet.
All over the internet. So we've been told, like, you're going ahead. We're doing UIL. We will pass the hurdle if there's an issue later, but, like, we're going for it. So I've already picked a play and turned it in for approval. So I'm crossing my finger because I love the play that we're going to do. It's not one that I wrote, but it's another, like, someone else in Texas, she wrote it for her kids a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the story behind it. You know me, I love a story.
I love a story.
I love a good, like, theme. And I also think it'll fit. I'll help bring our kids together because it's all about this tribe. It's called a go. And it's this young woman is like, her family's like healers and she's like supposed to be becoming like a healer. And she doesn't like the way they do it. She doesn't want to like all the ritual and stuff like that. And she's mm-hmm. questioning her place as a healer and in the tribe. And like the there's like ancestors and there's like a big giant beast in it. Mm-hmm. And so, but like to me, I was like, it's all about like to me about the tribe and finding your tribe and finding your place in your own particular place in your tribe. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that resonates, I think, so much with everybody in general. Yeah, but I think, like, it'd be very important for our kids. And I also think that, like, we have a lot of multicultural. Like, I have kids that, like, their family is originally from Africa. Like their mom and dad are from Africa. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, kids that are Latin. I have kids that I have, like, one child that's, like, literally she's got dual citizenship in Ireland and here.
Wow.
So, like, I've got all these, like, cultural background, and we were gonna mash them together and make our own tribe. Like, it doesn't specifically have, like, a thing. So I was like, let's make it our own. Like, and then it's, I just want that tribe feeling back. And, like, united. And, and I was like, you know, and then usually everyone, when you buy into a play, you love it more. And I think, you know, no matter how well we do, as long as we really love the play.
Exactly.
Like, I think when you were at school, we did Sparrows.
Yes.
Sending Down the Sparrows. And, like, I feel like everyone bought so much into it. In a weird way, y'all drank the Kool-Aid. But it was good Kool-Aid. We didn't kill, no one died at, like Jonestown.
Yeah.
But, like, we all really bought into the whole, you know, idea of, you know, we're telling the story of the people who couldn't tell their story because they were killed and stuff like that. And y'all really bought in. And I loved y'all just like coming up with so much stuff. And it was so
nice. That was my favorite show I've done so far.
When people ask usually what is my favorite show, it's usually Sparrows and then Do You Count, which was one that I wrote.
Yes.
So I was like, those are my top two. Like, of all time.
Yeah, and even with Iris, I feel like everybody was so invested in that storyline. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, whatever happened at competition, we're not stuck
about it. But we were up against some hard schools and stuff.
Yeah, wasn't his reasoning that he didn't like the way it was directed? Like, he would have done it differently. And we're like, okay, but we didn't do it that way, so why are you...
Yeah, there was still, I can't even remember. And they're technically really not supposed to, like, say 100% about the directing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I mean, I've had great judges that were like, y'all were great, and this was great. They were also really great, and that's why...
You're not.
I mean, I'm sorry. Or we'll get a judge that we, like, get a critique, and they're like, I put y'all as advancing. The other judges...
Didn't.
And you're like, I'm sorry, and... I was like, okay. Thank you for your honesty. I mean, honesty, like, we all gotta grow. I'm not perfect at all.
Right.
And, like, nothing I direct, you remember, nothing's perfect.
No.
I hate when people are like, hey, it's gonna be perfect. I go,
I like having a flawed show.
Yeah. And it makes, it creates so many more moments for you as a person.
Yeah.
Like, those memories. You don't remember the perfect show.
No.
You remember all the weird stuff that happens backstage.
Yes.
You remember Bailey Owen sitting on a wheelie chair trying to rip his boots off and him being rolled around backstage.
And Noah slicing his hand open on that thing.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, hand, like, he's...
I don't even know what it was. It was, like,
it was
a little...
So, yeah, in Hitler Youth... Random things on your podcast.
Yes, of course.
In Hitler Youth, they have these belts across them, and they're hooked on with, like, they go around them, and they have, like, it's like a sharp, like, almost, like, it's literally a hook, like,
yeah,
and it hooks into a, like, a hole in the back. And we had done this show a million times. He had done this move a million times. And he just, like, wrestles Michael down, and he got the hook on his hand and sliced it open.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, and he was, like, baller because he, like, still did his blocking.
He still did everything, yeah.
And he also moved a box someone didn't move.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, I come backstage after the show, like, oh, my God, amazing show.
Yeah.
And then he just, like, has his bloody hands in my face and's like, I think I need help.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And, you know, luckily, like, I could trust y'all. Literally, I didn't need to be there for strike.
Yeah.
You know, by the end of, by contest, I always, like, you know, my goal was always, like, y'all don't need me.
You guys go ahead. I'll just go
sit down in the audience. Yeah. I'll enjoy myself. But, like, y'all did strike, and we took care of Noah. But the show, you know, everyone really, like, enjoyed that show so much. And yeah. I'll always remember Noah's hand. I'll always remember yeah. Bailey getting wheeled around backstage. I will remember those silly things. I'll remember, like, silly dancing warm-up time.
Oh, yeah, those are the best.
Weird theater games that we tried to do, and then we totally failed, and we just ended up laughing about it. You know?
Yeah, honestly, I couldn't tell you. Well, I know what the show is about, but I couldn't tell you, like, the dynamic and what everybody did at what time. Like, yeah. I remember all of those yeah. things. And I remember, like, our senior night that we did with Chris and Juliet and all of them, and everybody's crying. Oh, like, that's what I remember more than anything else. Like,
ooh, we were, yeah, especially at Rose City, those senior nights really got you in the heart. The crying, the amount of crying. I went to Chris and Juliet's wedding. It was really? So pretty. Yeah, I couldn't stay, but I at least went for the ceremony.
Yeah, I remember seeing all the pictures. I was like, Mom and Dad, there they go.
They married, and she's a teacher, and so yeah. I was like, so cute.
It's so weird.
I know. I'm always like, wow, look at all these youngins getting married. And then I go, oh, God. Look at them, look at me.
There are people my age who graduated with me who have 3 kids now. And I'm like, I can't even think about that.
How do you do this?
Please. Yeah.
No, like, I definitely have that thing, too, where I have people that, like, oh, they're married, they got kids, we're same age. And I'm like, I'm over here, currently staying at my folks. 30-something.
It's great.
I'm not that I'm, like, homeless. I literally am just staying there to raise money.
Yeah.
My goal, end of 2020, because this year has been...
It's been 2020.
I like to call it a dumpster fire. Yeah, the dumpster yeah. fire. And I was like, maybe I could end this year with the dumpster fire slightly put out.
Just and a little bit.
My own house. That's my goal.
That's a good goal. Yeah.
I have almost the... Like a good down payment, and mm-hmm. in next month I'm going to hopefully get my loan approved.
I love that.
Adulting!
We love that. Love it.
I know, because then I can make the little Harry Potter office of my dreams.
My friend has one at her house.
Yes.
Love that.
I'm like, need a place to record, and I need Harry Potter stuff everywhere.
It works.
I need it all.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm down with it. Maybe if I have a friend, I can rent out a room, make yeah. some extra quiche.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. So, adulting. We totally are going random. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I love it.
Stream of conscience.
We've already gone over 10 things that I had down here, so sweet. It works good. Did you always know you wanted to be a theater director, or what was your plan?
No. No.
Look, no.
No. I didn't really get into theater. Like, I loved musicals when I was little all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. My mom will always tell the story of I was 6. And we were at Denny's, and I got up on top of the booth, and I sang The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow for the whole Denny's. Everybody has to hear my song.
Right now.
Right now.
Can't wait.
You stop eating your chicken nuggets.
Please pay attention.
Pay attention to me. I have a song to sing. So, like, I've always, like, been a performer. I was a mm-hmm. singer originally, and mm-hmm. then dancer. And then I quit choir my junior year. And because I bad experience with choir and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to audition for the musical. So I did. And then I started the musical. It makes sense. Dancer, singer, musical.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. And then so, like, after that, like, I was like, man, I really love this. I love the putting on a show. I love the working with people. I love all this. And so my senior year took 2 theater classes, which is really funny. It's like Theater 1 and then Theater Production, which is like, you're like, intro theater, and advanced theater.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. So, and, like... My original kind of plan was to, if I was going to do any theater, was to do musical theater. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Commerce. They don't have a musical theater program. Yeah. And so I was like, well, I'll just do elementary education because education's safe.
Yeah.
And literally, that's what I was thinking. I'm not going to be honest. I was like, that's safe. And I was like, elementary, you know, be the cute little elementary teacher that we all had and stuff. Like, that's what I'm thinking. And then, like, the first week after, you know, like, that, you know, there's, like, an intro week where it's like, oh, welcome to the school.
Here's the syllabus.
Here's all the school spirit and blah, 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 blah. And you're like,
exactly.
You're like, thanks, but no thanks. I was like, this is, like, going to just regular classes, I was like, what do I do in the evenings? I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah.
Because you get so used to doing stuff in theater, like, at night and in the evenings, and so I was like, what do I do with my hands? And then someone in my dorm was like, they're having auditions, the college, the Playhouse, the university theater department is having auditions, it's called, you know, the cattle call audition, they were auditioning three shows. Yeah, all at once.
I love that.
And they were doing, like, this Western musical, which I cannot remember the name of. Obviously, I wasn't in that.
Obviously.
Obviously not. They were doing a, not Arsenic and Old Lace. It's a Tennessee Williams play. And obviously, I wasn't in that.
Yeah,
and then they were doing the Greek play Medea.
There we go.
I just was like, you know what? I'll go on audition.
Yeah.
It's whatever. I'll do it. Sure.
Yeah.
And so I auditioned. Everyone was so nice and so welcoming. No one. I knew no one. Literally no one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the thing. And so, like, I did auditions for all three. It was really weird. Three very different plays.
And very different.
So very different. And I got a role as a chorus in Greek Medea. And this chorus is only three ladies. So
yeah.
It's not like it's 10 or 20 ladies. It's three ladies. And it was in the round. And the cast was, like, only 10 people. So it was really intimate. And the director was, like, really great at making us have, like, this, like, connected feeling. I met some many great people, and I had done the show the first semester, and literally, I was so happy.
So you were bitten by the bug.
It was like, and then, like, about midway through rehearsals, I went to the department head and was like, I would like to switch my major to theater. Can I do that? And they're like, yes, you can. Then I switched my major, and I was directing education, but I was like, I'm gonna be this actress. famous. And I was like, yes, I love acting. But it wasn't until I took a directing class that I fell in love with directing.
Really?
And knew that, like, this is what I want. Because even though I'm not diagnosed, but probably am, I have that little OCD with me. Yeah. And I was like, I love to be able to control. I love the control of being the director. I get to decide what the Luca is, and, like, I get to make
what show we're doing.
I'm doing. So I was like, this is the thing. And also just, like, you know, the idea of telling a story. Like, I control the story in which we're telling.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wasn't writing the script for, like, at that time.
Yeah.
that play, I got to control the story. Because, you know, you've seen plays where you saw it by one group and then you saw it by another group and you felt like, these are almost same words, but I got
different. The one act, the entire experience of one act, you see the same play over and over again, but in different ways.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is it. I want to do this. And so that's when I was like, I want to direct.
Did you always want to do high school?
Yes. I have my master's, so I can teach. I mean, I do teach dual credit theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do the junior college or even a college program that, like, I only taught undergrads.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be nice, but I really do enjoy high school students. I've taught middle school. I did not like it. Let's just say middle schoolers are real needy.
They're a different brand.
Yes. And, like, sure. They don't make decisions. They want to be told exactly, I stand here, I face there, this is how I say my line. And I was like, I cannot. I need someone, not that they don't have brains, but their brains are, like, turned on. And that, like, I can ask you a question and be like, well, how would you say this line if this was you in this situation? And you would have an answer.
Yeah. Middle school was like, oh, I don't know. What do you think?
I was like, no, I asked this question. I asked you. That's why. So, yeah, that's unlike high school students, for the most part. After you break them out of their shell.
Yeah.
Y'all were, and the ones I currently teach are so great at, like, really thinking about it and making some choices. But sometimes they have to be empowered to make the choices, because some of them get scared. They get in that middle school self, and they're like, all I'm going to do is wrong. It's going to be wrong. I was like, please, it's not wrong. If anything, I'll say that was a choice. That was a choice.
I
don't know if it would be my choice, but that was a choice. So yeah, I really do enjoy working with high school students.
Yeah. Was the middle school the place that you taught before Roy City?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I taught middle school and high school and the district.
Mm.
Yeah. It was a real rough 3 years. Yeah. Not with the students. I love the students. It was just, I literally taught from like 7 a.m. and then I had middle school and high school rehearsals, and I went and I left around 9 o'clock at night.
Oh my gosh. And then
it was a 14-hour day.
And you were, like, near Houston, right? Like,
yeah.
You were way out
there. I was, like, it's this tiny little school district, 3A at the time. So if you don't know what that is in Texas, we have classes, you know, and 3A is, like, a smaller population.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was middle school and high school. They just didn't have enough population to necessarily facilitate. Yeah. You have to have, like, so many students, and it's different for each like district, but yeah, it was super small out in the middle of Houston. I moved down to Houston, my first teaching job. So if you're ever a teacher, do not take the first job. Yeah. If you do, you really need to sit and consider it and what it's really like. They offered me the job and I said yes. I was like, yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely. And I would not trade my time in Liberty for anything, because I had amazing kids that I worked with.
Yeah.
But the small town district, like, I didn't care for. I also didn't like Houston. I didn't have any friends or family.
That's very isolating.
Let's just say that last year it was kind of depressed.
Yeah.
That year I also broke up with my 7 or 8 years boyfriend. We broke up that year too.
Oh, no.
So I was like,
just everything on top of
And then I was like, and I gotta leave. So, yeah, it was so much better to come back up here. I consider this home.
Yeah.
So, Rowlett, Garland, this area, Roy City, this area is more home to me. So, when I came back up here, the depression, well, maybe she didn't go all the way away, but she went real. She was at least gone for a little while. She had a sabbatical. Yeah. Every once in a while, she comes and visits.
But whatever.
It's okay. Everything's fine.
So you started at Roy City in 2013, which is the year that I was a freshman.
Yes.
So we were both new at the same time.
Yes.
And you had basically been thrown into a theater program that was legendary.
Oh, yeah. Legendary.
There's the legend of the theater directors that came before you.
Yeah.
So did you feel very, like, I don't know, like, weird going into it?
Like, and this is the thing is that, like, the director who was here before me at
McKinsey,
Roy City,
right?
Yeah. He very much loved. And that's the thing is when a director is really loved and they leave a program, it's like, when I left programs, I know that, like, there's always some of this struggle between the new person and the memory of the old director. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I totally get that. And I was like, I'm just going to be very respectful and we're going to try and do the best I can and take the children under the wing. Like, she left, like, a great program. And I think, I mean, of course, hopefully we kept the tradition alive.
Yeah.
So I was just like, it's got to be awkward for them, especially kids that had her for years.
Yeah, had a strong connection with her.
Yeah, and, like, I totally understand that. So it's awkward, and it's very daunting, because you want to do the best for everybody.
Yeah.
And you, like, you also don't want to, like, you want to change it more slowly.
Yeah.
You can't, I feel like changing it so dramatically when there's a new person is really going to just...
They're not going to want to do it.
No.
I was new, so I can't speak I can't speak for them, but I can only imagine them being like, oh, this new person wants to come in and change everything. I'm not about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, it's fine. Like, I don't, like, honestly, I didn't feel any outward, like, conflict.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't feel like anybody was, like, not mean, because I don't think anybody's mean, but we're protective of what we love.
Yeah.
And I didn't really feel like that was an issue. I think, like, I tried to, like, come in and be like, well, how did y'all do it? Yeah. And then slowly, like, put it in a way that we both, like, a compromise. And that was, like, my goal. And, like, you know, the best thing, you know, the best thing about, like, if you think about it as other people in the department, like, other students and new students, if I'm a new director, I have no, like, I have no idea what you as a person have been in the past. I don't know if you've ever been the lead or not been the lead or, well, or if you were a jerk to the last director,
yeah.
Whatever. I have none of that knowledge. So it's like anybody's game. They're like, oh, I'm here. She doesn't know anything about us, but I'm here.
I can imagine that they were pretty welcoming to you and also trying to impress you a little bit.
I am, maybe.
Yeah, I'm probably.
I was like, oh, okay.
Is that why you chose Charlie Brown as the first musical? Because you didn't know anybody's talent, pretty
that
much?
Also, that and I was told I had to do a musical.
Oh, really?
I was like, you have to do a musical. And I was like,
great. Let me just choose one
right there at the beginning. Awesome. Great. Magical. And yeah, like, I didn't know any of the voices. And the choir director at the time, he sort of helped at me. With the musical, like, literally, it was, if you remember, it was me.
Yeah.
It was me and me and me and me.
Yeah. And you were also the tech director because we did not have one.
Yeah, we did not have
a tech. So you did everything.
I was like, gotta build the set, gotta do the costumes, gotta do the... And so, yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Charlie Brown is, like, a really cute musical and it's fun, but you don't necessarily have to be, like, an amazing singer to do it. So that was really smart on your part.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Okay, listen. I know this musical. I've never done it. I've seen it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, it's easier to do for people who don't have the best vocal range.
Yeah.
Your kids. Kids are supposed to sound weird and off. And I was like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And also because I didn't have, like, the choir director came in for a little bit, but not much. And so I was like, this is me doing the music on our own, listening to the tracks.
Yeah. And you tried to have somebody play it live, right? But then that didn't work out, so we just used the track.
I was like, and like,
this isn't going good.
No, it really wasn't. It's because also, like, I was new to the district, so I didn't know all the purchasing stuff. Mm. And that is something that, like, as a theater director and, like, mainly high school and, like, middle school, we have all these rules that we have to follow with purchasing about, like, who we're allowed to buy things from, how we're allowed to get money. Like, can we put in for a check? That check has to be put in by a certain date, by a certain time if you want to. It's like there's so much of this, like, red tape to do with money, and I totally get why, because it's the taxpayer's money.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I was like, I'm a taxpayer, I should know.
I get it.
I pay the taxes, you know. So there was that issue, like, trying to figure that out, and also, you know, and she was the piano player, the pianist was, she was like, listen, I think it's just better than we do the tracks. And I was like, you know what?
You're right.
You're right. We're down. I'm down for that. I'm down for this. Totally understand. And we did the, you know, it was cute.
It did its job.
It was a cute musical. Bam. Yeah.
Your first introduction into Roy City.
Yeah, there we go. I was like, it's cute. It's fine.
Yeah. And it's weird because Roy City has never been like a musical school.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been like plays and really dramatic pieces and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the school that I went to in Colorado is all musicals.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is this? Why is it like this?
My current technical director, he taught at a school in Colorado a while ago, like a long time ago. And he was talking about how, you know, musicals were real big for them too. And I was like, well.
They also have a tech director, a choir teacher that does everything.
Yeah.
And then also an assistant director and a director.
Yeah.
So they have all the means to do
it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think that's why I didn't like And I still don't necessarily, I'm starting to love doing musicals more. I'm mm-hmm. teaching a musical theater class this oh, year. Fun. I know, I was like, yes.
Sure.
And we were going to do a musical this year, but then, you know, COVID. Oh. Dang it.
Gosh.
So, but I said it's a training year for next year.
Oh, there you
it's
go.
It's a training year for next year. So, like, I'm starting to love musicals more. It's just, it's a whole big beast. And luckily now at my current school, mm-hmm. I do have a technical director.
Oh, how nice.
I have a choir director and even assistant choir director that would love to help.
Oh my
and
gosh.
The band director likes musicals.
Wow.
I also don't have to choreograph everything because we have dance teachers.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like,
I mean, you did a really good job with what you had though.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was a dancer, so I mean, choreography, bread and butter. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, actually, that's probably my favorite part. I love movement. So I was like, yeah, I can do that. Easy.
Yeah.
It's the music part that I was like, I do know music, but I don't know how to explain music to others.
Yeah. I don't even remember having, like a rehearsal where we're like, all right, you sing this part. I just remember, like, singing stuff.
I was just like, yeah, I'll just sing along.
Just do it.
Just do it. Because, like, that's the one thing. I've started the process of learning to play piano.
Mm.
Like, literally just, like, this month.
Yeah.
She's new. But, like, playing notes, that would have been something that I could not do.
Yeah.
At all. And I was like, So, yes, we did the best we could. And, you know, the community liked it.
Yeah. We liked it.
Y'all liked it. I was like, and I didn't like, it's not like I had a bad time. It was just like, this is my first show here.
Yeah. There was a lot of pressure on you to be like, okay, this is my first one. We got to do this.
Don't suck. Literally me thinking every day is like, don't let this show suck.
Please. So our first day of the Charlie Brown rehearsal, do you remember we were in the black box, in the choir black box?
Mm-hmm.
And you had sent Cheryl and Chase Gates to go get the piano for Schroeder.
Yeah.
From the theater room.
Yeah.
Well, they went and did that and we're all sitting in there. And I think they either called you or they called Annabelle. And they said, hey, Chase just fell and busted his head open. You guys have to get over here, like, right now. So we all ran over there just for them to be like, just kidding. I can imagine you're like, all right, this is what I'm getting into.
I was like, all right, well, these are the kids. They're practical jokers.
They were practical jokers.
Yeah. There's some children that I'm like, you know, after, you know, that, you know, being the first time, then you get to know, and then I'm like,
here we go again.
Okay. And most of the time, after a while, I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, okay. You're really hurt.
Yeah.
For sure you are.
And they saran wrapped your car.
Yes. Yes, they did. The gents decided to sort of, I was like, Lisa, it's real fresh.
Yeah.
It's a fresh car.
Yeah, you're right.
I was like, now that you put it on there, take it off.
Please.
Please do. And they did.
They did that twice, right?
They did for sure once. And I think they, like, saran wrapped, like, a couple different things before.
Oh.
But they didn't do, like, the whole car. That was at that one banquet.
Oh,
that they
yeah.
did it. And I was like, I'm going to get you up.
Oh, my God.
But, there was that year of your guys, that senior class, that was my last year there.
Yeah.
Bailey and Josiah and Victor and
Brennan.
Like, those were my boys.
Yeah.
They were my boys. Like, and I still, like, I follow them on all their social medias. Victor has come to see me in his uniform a couple times
really?
At Lakeview.
Oh,
it was really
sweet.
He actually put me down as, like, a reference for, like, a top security job. And they
Ooh.
Interviewed me about him. And I was
wow.
like, he's amazing. Like, the best.
He's the best.
Trust him with everything.
Yeah.
You could give him all the weapons. You could give him all the bad things. He won't do anything because he's good.
Yeah, he's good. He's good egg.
He's good egg. I remember when we went to New York, Victor, we didn't get to get off at the Statue of Liberty. Excuse me. We didn't get to get off, but we were in a ferry and we drove past it. We floated past it. We sailed past it. And as we were going by, Victor's crying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because he
so
loved
America.
He's like, America.
He loves America.
And it was so sweet. I was like, so genuinely touched by that moment.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all are so cute.
That it's kid so, loves America so
yes.
much.
He just got, like, another
promotion
and
yeah.
I was like, okay.
During Sparrows, he had that little free.
Yeah, free.
little tiny
his bird. Little bird, and he was like, take free with y'all. Because he wasn't in Sparrows that year, and I was like, yeah. Why aren't you in Sparrows? And he's like, I regretted that, but I was like, because you would have been in that.
See, I regret dropping out of high school before you guys went to New York, because I would have loved doing that.
It was so fun! We had such a good time. That's the last time I've been to New York.
Did you guys go and see any Broadway shows?
We saw Aladdin, and we saw it with, like, the original Genie. He literally was leaving the next day.
Really?
Yeah. And we got to do, like, a sit-chat back with him.
No way. Yeah. That is so cool.
So cool. And then we saw Waitress.
Oh, that's one show I have not seen yet.
It was good. Now, I was like, hey, there's some parts of it that are a little risque. And I was like...
Yeah, you're like, why did I take like, you guys?
Sorry. Because in the explanation of it, like, online, they're like, oh, it's PG, PG-13-ish. Oh, and I was like, there's a part where there's some simulated sort of activities.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, awkward.
You're like sorry, guys.
And I, like, looked over at the parents that had come with us to see if they were, like, freaking out. And I was like, they're not freaking out. Okay.
I think I'm safe.
I did apologize, though. I did not know that was in there.
Sorry. My bad.
And some of us, we had, like, an extra night free. And,
Nice.
Some of the kids went back to the hotel with the parent. No, they went to, like, to check out Times Square.
Oh, okay.
But they had to be chaperoned, and a couple of others, little mini groups with me. I had a group, and then a couple other parents had small groups. We went to TKTS to get the cheap tickets, and we went to different shows.
Oh, nice.
One group went to, like, I think they went to School of Rock, and my group, after I got permission, I made sure I got permission, we went to Kinky Boots.
Oh, my gosh. That is so much fun.
And it went to Todrick Hall.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. When I went to go see Dear Evan Hansen at Fair Park, he was there.
Todrick?
Yes.
What was he doing there?
I know. I was like, what are you? What?
I mean, well, he is from the DFW area, so yeah. I guess that makes sense. But, wow.
I know.
Yeah. We may have been late to the bus because we were waiting for him at the door.
It's fine. I would have too, so.
Yeah, and he was super nice too. Really? Like, and, like, I was just taking pictures, like, and they're like, yeah, that's our theater teacher. And he's like, get in here too. And I was like, okay.
Sure.
Somewhere, someone has a picture of me with Todrick Hall. I have no idea who. Maybe one day I'll get it randomly texted to me. And
just
be
make
like,
a post and be like, hey, whoever took that picture, can you send it to
like,
me?
Like, Hookstone up. She'd Please. Love to have it.
Love to.
Love it.
My school that I went to in Colorado, the summer before you guys went to New York, they had gone to New York and they saw Dear Evan Hansen with Ben Platt. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Why?
Everybody went to New York without me.
No. Well, when stuff settles down.
Yes.
It'd be good. Like, I've only gone during winter. I would love to not go during winter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we thought, you know, we think we get cold winters.
No.
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 I was like, the amount of chapstick I use.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the layers. Just layers every time. Scarves covering your mouth. Like, you wear extra big, you draw outside your line lipstick because you got that chapped lip so bad. You're just like, I'll just hide it with bigger lips.
Yeah.
I just have these giant, like, I look like I had injection lips with my makeup. Because they're that chapped.
Yeah. My mom and I were supposed to go this December to New York, but...
Yeah.
COVID. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, COVID.
I went when I was 7, and I have a picture of me standing on Broadway, like, on the street, and I don't remember it, so. I was there for the American Girl Doll store.
Yes, American Girl Doll!
That's all I wanted to do. Now I'm like, why didn't you appreciate it while you were there?
Because you were a child.
Yes.
We don't understand.
No.
You do not understand. These are child like, oh, I went and got the American Girl with the M&M store, the Disney store.
Yeah.
Yes, those are nice. But turn around and look at all this.
You're on Broadway right now, like.
Hello?
Hello, are you there? So we did one act play. That was our huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for, that's not anywhere other than Texas.
No.
I've tried describing it to people. I'm like, yeah, it's one act play. And they're like, oh yeah, we have a one act play competition. I'm like, no, you're not understanding. Like, we go and compete and move up and stuff. They're like, why? Like, because it's fun. It's cool.
Because it's fun. Because we're Texas and we like competition.
Yeah.
We like football sports. We like all the sports. And if we can make theater a sport, we made it a sport.
We did.
Yeah. It is really weird. I always say, you know, the best part about Texas theater is the one act play
contest
because we are the Texas UIL One Act Play, University Intergalactic League.
Yes, I got that wrong in that episode already.
It is the biggest play festival in the world.
Really?
Because over 2,000 schools shows go.
Put that on your resume.
Competed in this now. Okay. Yes. So it's so many. In some schools, all they do is one act because they may not have the money.
Yeah.
And that's like the people understand contest and like sort of thing. So they'll give money to the contest. Like, oh, you're doing UIL One Act Play contest. Oh, I'll give you, the district will give you money for that, as opposed to like another just random play that like, well, we don't really have the money to give you.
Yeah, we don't really care.
And you're like, great, awesome. As like, you know, the reason why most kids come to school is to be in a fine arts program.
It's fine,
but it's fine. So, but yeah, and I competed at UIL too when I was a student. So that's why I was like, I understand what it is from the student's point of view and from the director. I've been a contest manager.
How was that?
It's stressful as a director. It is also stressful for that contest manager because you want to make it so good for everybody.
Yeah.
And also you don't want to get anything wrong. You're like, I don't want to get anything wrong. I get stuff messed up. And I did make a mess up once or twice.
Oops.
Oopsie, but everyone, you know, with the exception of people that didn't advance because they didn't advance and that's not my business. I just report what the judges pick. Most people were happy with the win. I hosted a contest and it's whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really enjoyed working in UIL. I hate, you know, there's things like they have this giant rule book.
Oh yeah.
The giant rule, so many random rules about things. Like, fabric.
Yeah, that is the strangest.
And the funny thing is now, you basically can have all the fabric you want now.
Of course.
They usually, rules are because someone did it and now they have a rule.
Yeah.
Or there was an issue and there was like someone used it and then there was an issue. So now we have to control it.
Mm-hmm.
Like baby powder is now like a big thing.
Yeah.
We use baby powder.
Yeah.
But like you have to like be approved by the site.
Yeah.
To use it and stuff like that. And that was because someone at state used it on accident on excess because they were super excited and it went everywhere. And they had to like mop the unit set and mop the floor and let it dry. And like state those kind of contests are no very tight schedule.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yikes. So that's why you have those rules. And I totally get them. But it also kind of helps level out some of the playing field from those schools that have like way amount of money.
I've seen so many schools and I'm like, how did you guys do that? I'm like, what are you doing?
And some people are like, don't have a lot of money, but they're very like inventive.
Yeah.
And they like, oh, I can do this and I can go around the rules or I can use the rules to my advantage.
Like the Wisdoms, right?
Oh yeah. They like, they're really smart about how they did things. Now he's retired. I know.
So sad.
I know. he works at I think he does a junior college teach now. And he does clinics still.
Oh, those are the best. Those are my favorite clinics.
I know, the wisdom clinics. I was like, I haven't had one in 3 years. I'm thinking of seeing if he'll come to our school and maybe we could host one. We'll see. I'll put those on the back burner right now. I'll talk to him later about it. But yeah, and he also hosts, you know, so UIL, I think, is such a great opportunity for kids to, one, do theater, and two, see theater, because they get to watch everybody else's. I mean, except probably the play or two before yours.
Yeah.
And maybe the play after. It's because you got to clean up. But the ability to just go and see plays is so awesome. Our district that I currently work at, they let our middle schoolers come watch our high school festival.
Oh, I love that.
And so that was really great. That also kind of showed them that, oh, what school might I be interested in? I really like their program and like what they did. I was like, smart, very smart.
There we go.
So it just has such a great opportunity. And even if you don't do theater after UIL One Act Play, you learn so many skills.
So many skills. And for people who don't know what UIL, people listening right now in like Washington or wherever you are.
Wherever you may be.
One Act is a competition, and it's not just like you choose whatever play and just put it on. Like, there are certain rules. Like, you have to be under a certain time. Mm-hmm. You have to have, what is it, like 7 minutes to set up and 7 minutes to tear down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just like she said, like a huge rule book of things. Like, you, well, obviously not anymore, but whenever I did it, you, it's like certain amount of fabric you can use, certain amount of seconds of music, right?
Yes. And that's because no one understood copyright.
Oh, yes.
Like, no one understood copyright. So we're like, we keep the clip under 30 seconds. We can use whatever piece of music. And you're like, now it's like, no.
No.
Now, but there are so many great, like, artists who give free copyright-free music online that you can use. And I've had students, like, this last year, I had a student, she plays harp. She's, like, professional, like, harp. She does it, like, for weddings and stuff as well. And she's my stage manager.
Oh, hey.
And my president of our International Thespian Society.
Hey, shout out.
Shout out. And I had her record herself playing harp, and she composed music for our UIL last year.
That is so cool.
So, you know, and in a way, it forces you to be more inventive as a director and as performers. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen a lot of people bring in pianos and bring in, like, music and play and do their own music. And I was like,
that's super cool.
That is super cool. Like, this next year, that play I talked about, like, we're going to do pretty much all of our own music. I'm going to get a bunch of drums, and I'm going to get and, like, other stuff, and I might have them make their own drums and stuff, and all that jazz. We're going to do a lot of fun stuff. Oh, gosh. I use that saying all the time, especially in musical theater class.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, okay. All right.
We get it.
Got it. Chicago.
Let's move on,
Miss Stone. I was like, okay, fine.
Sorry
about it.
But, yeah, you really have to learn how to be inventive with literally every aspect of one act play. And you have like a set, right? Like the set pieces?
Yes, UIL unit set.
You love that.
Yes, that unit. So like we call it the big gray stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like platforms, pylons, step units, ramps.
Sometimes windows and doors.
Flats, bifolds, trifolds. You can, yeah. And they are this ugly shade of gray.
The ugliest shade of gray possible.
I was like, they're super ugly. But you can, like, it's like crazy Tetris. People can stack them and put them in all crazy, like, ways. And it does help, like, level the playing field. Also, you'll have that one on site. Everybody uses the same pieces. Mm-hmm. Or if you're me and you decide, I'm not using any of the pieces.
There you go, yeah.
That is I tend to do that. I'll, like, use three, and then I'll be like, I don't want any more.
All right. They're ugly. We don't need them.
Cover them up. Let's cover them up somehow. Let's put wraps on them or whatever now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the UIL has just, like, they also have, like, certain, you know, lighting plot. Everybody has the same lighting plot, and they have the same, we get 40 minutes usually for, 40 minutes to an hour, if you're lucky, you get extra time, to rehearse, to, like, take your set and how you worked it on your stage, and then put it on the new stage.
Yeah.
Which is stressful.
It's so, like, up here with adrenaline, and everybody is just ready to go, and is, like, and it's teamwork. Like,
that's the
biggest way I've learned teamwork was UIL.
Tech rehearsal is the biggest sign of teamwork.
Yeah.
My, like, the last couple of years have been real, like, my first year that I was there, I didn't direct the UIL one act play.
Who did?
It was the other director. And I can't really talk about where he is now. Let's just say we don't work together anymore.
Okay, great.
Crazy things happened. He's no longer teaching.
Okay. Just you.
So, but he directed. He wanted to direct. I directed all the other shows that year. And he was like, I want UIL. I want to direct it. And I was like, okay.
Great.
And we casted it together. And I could not be at UIL rehearsal. And, like, he would do at things. And I didn't like how he worked with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had a student teacher, and I wanted her to see UIL rehearsal. Mm. So we were there a lot, but not a lot of, like, our notes were given. Like, I gave them, but he never was like, no, forget that. And I was like, okay, fine.
Oh, right.
So I did all the tech, basically. I designed all the costume. We had a projector, and I did stop animation for it, and I designed all that. I designed the sound. The only thing I don't think I designed was the lights. I designed all the other stuff.
Wow.
So, and so I also ran the tech rehearsal, and it was okay. Projector was the hardest thing. I don't like using projectors
anymore.
Yeah,
I was about to say, I thought you never wanted to use one of those. I
don't like them because everybody messes them up. But then the next 2 years were my shows. So last year and the year before that. And I don't know if you remember, but I make us practice tech rehearsal.
Yes.
You practice tech rehearsal. And people go like, what do you mean? I was like, we rip up all the spike from our space. We clear out our boards.
Yeah.
We are at a brand new space in our imaginary world, and we run it. And we have a checklist. And the last 2 years,
the checklist.
And like this now I do it where everybody has a checklist, and it's hung around their neck.
Oh, that's really smart.
So the first year it wasn't laminated. This last year it was because they kept ripping it.
Yeah.
So they literally just pick it up and go, oh, that's what we're doing next.
Yeah.
And the only thing I did in the last, I only confirmed spacing of set and if the sound levels were good. The rest was all done by my stage manager. I had two different stage managers. And they literally ran tech rehearsal for me. It was the most beautiful teamwork ever. I would just sit there, and I would talk to the contest manager, and she's like, do you need to pay attention?
No,
I was like,
good.
Nope. And every once in a while, I hear on the intercom, we're ready to show the contest manager this. And they'd be like, we're ready to show you the stage violence.
Here we go.
Here we go. And go.
Because, yeah, you do that in tech rehearsal, too, right?
Yeah,
you have to run the stage.
Yeah, you have to show any stage violence, any, like, big lifts or anything like that, or falling off the back of platforms.
Yeah.
Or flying off the back of platforms. You've got to show all that sort of stuff because, it's a safety, and you really want your contest manager not to be surprised by anything.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hello? What is this?
What was that?
So anything major like that, even if like, and then you also have to show any fake stage weapons and stuff so they can make sure. Now they have, and I don't, you know, they usually have rules for a reason. They have any sort of liquid that kids drink or consume or that's on stage that looks like alcohol or supposed to be alcohol, they have to smell it.
Oh my, I don't even want to know why that is.
Well,
I think we can guess why that is.
I think we can guess,
yeah.
And I was just like, who? What?
Why?
Why did some child?
Why?
That child knows that they would never be in a play ever again.
Yeah.
And not only that, you would definitely be at alternative school.
Yeah,
because
something.
I was like, I'm sorry. That was a choice.
Yeah.
So those are the certain things you have to do at tech rehearsal. And then, you know, obviously stage makeup and all that stuff. But that's later.
Yeah.
Yeah. The contest day is the best/worst day.
It is exactly that. The only thing I can equate it too is like Pitch Perfect, but for theater.
Yeah.
Like the competition and stuff, but for theater.
But for theater.
Yeah.
The nerve, like, I'm like, again, it's like I like to control things. And at contest, it's not my space. It's contest, so all the kids have the adrenaline going, so I can't control that. And literally, for us, directors, we set up the stage in our 7-minute setup. We go sit down and literally have no control for 40 minutes that kids can't come into the audience and be like, hey, so-and-so left their costume in the other room.
You're not on a headset or anything. You just got to sit there.
We literally just have to sit there and watch. And I mean, like,
are those 40 minutes like for you?
For me, it's like, sometimes I don't watch the full thing because I'll put my head down and I'll just listen. I'll listen for those words that, like, I was like, I told you a million times to hit that word. or like, during, like, a moment where, like, we had worked a special, like, intense emotional moment, and I'm like, I'll stare so intensely, my eyes get so big, and I'm like, they better do it. Oh, yes, they did, or why didn't they not do it?
Have you ever had to sit there and watch something, like, go completely wrong?
Yes.
What is that like for you?
Oh, my gosh, so it was Digging Up the Boys.
Oh, no. No.
At Roy City, my last UIL there. We had, again, rehearsed a million times. We had this, like, lantern that, like, looked like those old school, like, gas lanterns.
Yeah, I came and watched that show.
Yes. So it had, like, and Josiah, awesome actor, he, like, in the very, like, first 30 seconds, we have an explosion, and his eyes get, you know, get blown out.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Well, he's keeled over. They're all keeled over. And then, like, in the next scene, like, he's supposed to jolt out, and he hits the light, and it, like, falls over and crashes on the stage and sends glass out all on the front of the stage.
Oh, no.
And I am, like, looking, I'm like, holy crud. Holy crud, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Because they have to be crawling almost the entire time because they're caved in.
No.
And without missing a beat, Bailey Owen and Ladarius, luckily they had longer sleeves on, and they brushed the glass out away from the area that Josiah was going to be crawling in. Because Josiah is blind. Literally, yeah. He gets blindfolded right after that. So he's blind the majority of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sitting there, and Larry Wisdom was the contest manager, and I look at him, and he sort of gets up, he notices them push it away, and then he sits down.
Oh my gosh.
And he told me afterwards, he's like, I was gonna stop, but they just kept going. And I was
two
like
geniuses.
He was like,
Bailey and Ladarius.
He was like, hey, goodness. I was so happy that, like, one, they just kept going. But I'm not gonna lie, I was freaking out anytime someone stepped on it or crunched on it, because I was just like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And they did have, Josiah, maybe I think the boys had tiny little cuts in their hands, mm-hmm. but like nothing that like they had to get
insane,
any.
Yeah.
So I was like, thank y'all for just keep going.
Yeah.
And like in character, taking care of business. Because that, like, I was like, it would, I think, as a judge or someone else in the audience, if I was in my play, I'd be thinking about that glass the whole time, like, mm-hmm. and not be paying attention. I was paying attention to it just because I knew where everybody would be going, and I was like, is the glass there? And because, like, I'm sitting at a weird angle. I don't know where the glass all is, so.
Yeah.
That was, like, one of the big things.
In that instance, if something had gone wrong, would they have stopped and restarted, or?
Yes, they could have done
okay.
That. Yeah. I've been to one act play festival where they loaded in the wrong lights. The contest people had loaded in the wrong lights for the wrong show.
Mm.
And they were about 5 minutes into the show, and the contest manager stood up and says, stop, we're going to reset, and load in their light cues. It actually was one of Larry's daughters. That was when she was directing. It was one of her shows, actually.
Really?
He was there watching. After I had left Roy City, I came back to see their UIL after, because I was like, I get a zip for my BBs.
Yeah.
Some of the new freshmen did have no idea who I was.
Everybody
so,
else did, though.
But right? Everyone else did. So mm-hmm. I was like, I already had the day off because, mm-hmm. I can't even remember why. Oh, we had it not advanced.
Oh.
And then I had the day off. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go watch the babe.
My first time, my first time was with a 65-year-old man in a room at the very back of a city hall. Michael's first time was on the street, in public. She was blue, worked for USPS, it only lasted like 2 seconds. Savannah's first time, her mom was there, and it was off a dirt road. In case you were wondering, we are talking about voting here. We are now less than a week away from the biggest election of my lifetime, for sure. And today's Taste Faves is just vote. It's probably way too late to mail in your ballot now, so be sure you drop it off, vote in person, do whatever you need to do to make sure we can give ourselves the best America we can have right now.
The Ray City Bibbis and Larry's daughter was at different school, and that happened and stuff like that. I stayed for her show and Roy City, and I think I stayed for one other show.
And then you were like, all right, bye.
And then I was like, all right, okay.
Peace out.
Listen, I just sat yesterday for a whole bunch of shows. I was like, I think I need a little break.
Yeah.
I have this day off, so.
Whatever.
Whatever. But, yeah, so. It is so crazy. There's so much that can go wrong.
And that's why theater is the best, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, in a movie or, like, on a TV set, if that happened, you would just, like, sweep it off and, like, reset and then reshoot. But in theater, you just gotta keep going
with it.
We did Hello, My Baby in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this big, like, it's right before Act 2. There's this big scene where everybody's dancing. It's a ballroom. And our director had it so that nobody's going to be able to see this, but they had these, like, what are they? Just, like, panels, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they were hung on a batten. And then they lifted the batten up in the air to start that scene. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes in dancing, and they're lifting them up at the same time. So it's all, like, whatever. Well, one night we're in the middle of a show, of course. It's always in the middle of the show.
Never at rehearsal.
Yeah.
Never at rehearsal.
The last scene ends, so it's a blackout, and then they go right into the next scene. Everybody comes in dancing, and then they're lifting the batten, and I see that one of the little things is slightly coming off. And I was sitting up in the booth, and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, it's fine. And then I look down for 2 seconds, and then I look back up because the whole entire audience gasped because that thing starts falling down.
No!
But luckily, one of the techies that was backstage ran in real quick and caught it before it could hit anybody. I was like...
And then you just dance with it.
Yeah.
And you're like, don't mind me. I'm just dancing.
I'm just going to take this.
Theater's like those, like, we can suspend imagination a lot more in theater than we can when we watch film and stuff. Because they're like, well, in film, you can do all these things and make it perfect. And... perfect. I hate perfect. You know that.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, in theater, it's like, this is what you're getting. Is live.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you. This, last year we did, at my school, we did The Wiz.
Mm.
I didn't direct it. I did some choreography, and I did costumes, and I did publicity, and my parents' dog, / my dog, Mr. Darcy.
Oh.
He was Toto. Oh, so I was Toto Wrangler. And Mr. Darcy is really well behaved. He's pretty trained pretty well. And but the kids were in the pit, the band kids, and shiny stuff. And during some rehearsals, he would sometimes go down towards the band, and they're like feet, like a total drop.
Yeah.
I had to tell the band kids. I was like, hey, if in a show he comes out towards you, and it looks like he wants to hop to meet you, just take him down and put him and hold him, and we'll keep going.
Yeah,
Was literally only in the opening and the closing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, he couldn't be in the whole musical. I was
she
runs
this.
Off to go get Toto, and then she gets caught in the world, and then, Toto comes running back. It. And then Toto comes in at the end, she picks him up. Or she doesn't pick him up, she grabs him, and they walk off together.
Aww.
So, but he, at one show, like, started going towards the band, and you could see some of the band kids, luckily, like, I guess they weren't playing at those particular band kids. I turned around and were like, and you can, like, I'm like looking at him from across, because he, like, I had one person hold him, and he would run to me on the other side, and so I was like, here, get over here, come on. And I'd be like, treat. I would hold the treat up and like, oh, treat, and
come get it.
And then he'd be like, okay.
Sure.
I guess you're. I'm like, you just took a long time tonight. You were being a real diva, Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, come on. Let me take you to your dressing room now.
He did like to stay in the girls' dressing room.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes, like, if I, like, needed to go sell tickets, I would leave him in there with some of the girls. So.
That's cute, though.
Yeah. I was like, ladies, will you take care of Mr. Darcy? And they're like, yes.
Yes, they all absolutely.
Absolutely. Corgi, yes.
Oh, my gosh,
He's just cute. So, yeah, no, they loved having him in there. And the funny thing is, our Dorothy has the fear of dogs.
Oh, no.
I mean, I was like, Mr. Darcy's real nice. He's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, it's going to hurt.
And he's also, like, only a foot tall.
Yeah.
He's not that big. But she, like, would pick him up, like... I just let his leash drag behind him, because then it's easier to grab him.
Yeah.
And she would just, like, he would kind of run past her to go to me, and then she'd pick him up, and then I'd give her a treat so she could be like this for, and he would come out for curtain call with her.
Oh, that's cute.
But then he was like, I feel like he could tell that she didn't like dogs, because he would love on everybody else, and he liked her, but he could tell that she wasn't into him.
Yeah.
Everybody else was so into him.
Love that.
The band director, like, would love on him and pick him up sometimes. Aww. I was like, okay.
All right, sure.
Okay, sure.
See, that's why theater's the best, because they always have to adjust to something.
Oh, gosh. Always something.
Like in Just Another High School Play, when it started raining on stage. Do you remember that?
Because it was monsoon season that year.
Yes.
Literally, it rained.
For, like, we had to cancel a show,
We had to cancel a show because, like, basically we're like the storm was going to be so bad. Mm-hmm. And also we had like a giant hole in our roof that people would go, oh, it yawned. Like they would go to say they fixed it. And I was like, but did you? Because did I had this giant puddle.
Yeah. Cause see there's the giant water on stage. So.
I put this trash can and now it's like filled up like a foot of water. You're telling me that there's it's not fixed. A leak.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh gosh. Yes. Or let me think. I'm trying to think of any time else that we had like a big major staff-y.
Well, I remember for Christmas Bells, this wasn't like a mishap that happened on stage, but you casted the original show and then like a bunch of people like dropped out, changed different. Yeah. And yeah. then I was stage manager and ended up being one of the lead roles. So like.
Yeah.
It that was.
That's one of those shows that like the community loved.
Yeah.
I. Hated it.
Really?
I did not, like, I enjoyed the show, but there was just so much other stuff that I had to deal with that, like, it so tainted, much. It really tainted that experience to yeah. me, for me, and I was just like, I cannot even. And, like, people getting sick, and, like, yeah, I was just like, I need a moment. There's yeah. a lot of times where I would be like, I need to be alone in my office.
Please slam the door.
Slam the
we
door.
We also did the Christmas parade that year, too. Yeah. So that was a lot that of planning. Was, and
yes. Yeah, we did the Christmas parade. That was a lot of fun.
And during that same year, we also went to Thespian Convention and yes. then ended up advancing to national, international,
yes.
whichever.
National, yes.
Nationals in with Nebraska.
The, yeah, our your y'all's IE
yes.
individual event scenes.
Yes. That was a year. That was definitely.
We did a lot that year. Was that also?
That was Sparrows.
That
yeah.
was Sparrows or wait, too?
Yes.
No, it was Sparrows.
We did Caligari's Coffin, and then we did Christmas Bells, mm-hmm. and then we did Sparrows. And then we went to Nebraska that summer.
Yes. Did we?
That was
and
a
we
year.
Did. We did a. We did our like. Cabaret kind of thing. Didn't we do a cabaret
we
thing
did though? I know we did a Love Day thing.
We did a Love Day
and then we did one for animal shelter.
Animals we also did that
and then I think yeah we did I think we did do
we did something
we did
something
so much that year.
It was a very busy year. We were like I was a little crazy.
We did boot camp the summer before and brought in all the new freshmen.
Yeah, that was when I started the boot camp and I was like boot camp is so fun. And they didn't get to, I know that they kept that tradition on after yeah. I left, so yeah. I was like, yay! And, but, I mean, this year they couldn't because
yeah.
And, oops. Like, my goal was to, is eventually to incorporate some sort of theater boot camp in the summer for maybe the whole district for my district. I have 6 high schools in my district.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So, yeah, let me think. I won't say what school I'm at particularly.
Right.
So, like, Garland High School. South Garland, North Garland, Neyman, Lakeview, Rowlett, Saxey, 7.
Oh my gosh. That's yeah. insane. Because Roy City only has one high school.
One high school, yeah. And we're all 6A. So we're the biggest population.
That explains it.
Yeah, so we're huge, the big. And so I was thinking about doing that for, it's hard sometimes to get kids to transfer from middle school and keep doing high school theater.
Yeah.
It's
a different world.
It is such a different world. And yeah. I think that sometimes they go into it thinking it's going to be like middle school.
And it's not.
And then it's like, I'm sorry. No,
it's not.
No, it's definitely not. And so I think I was going to do it this summer, but you know.
COVID.
As we say.
Thanks a lot.
2020 dumpster fire.
Yes.
You know. But I think that's, like, one of my goals is eventually to do that. And, like, I don't even need a big day. I could do it one day. Like, here's a quick little boot camp and try to incorporate the other directors from all the different schools. And if they don't want to do it, send their kids mm-hmm. and just do it that way. But 'tis plans for a later date because, obviously.
Obviously, you can't do anything about it now.
Can't do anything now because the year started and... What you gonna do?
Yeah. That sophomore year, though, my sophomore year was really fun because, like I said, we did Caligari's Coffin. Mm-hmm.
Original piece.
Yes, that was a really fun show. I didn't think I was gonna like it. I was like, oh, why are we doing this? And then I really liked it.
It's like Annabelle and Michael, I showed them Sending Down the Sparrows and they didn't like it at first. They read the script and they didn't like it. And I was
really?
Like, if you really look at the, excuse me, the script, it's really pared down.
Yeah.
There wasn't. I mean, they said stuff, but all the other, like, storytelling things is what we added.
Yeah.
And so they were like, I was like, I see it. Don't worry. I see it. I promise it's going to be good. It's going to be, everything's fine.
I think I remember them because we all, like, I was a thespian officer, so we all talked all the mm-hmm. time. And I think I remember them saying, like, this isn't a good song. Like, you're not going to like it. And yeah, then.
And I was like, oh, you just, you eat.
Yeah. And then we did Christmas Bells. Mm-hmm. And then that December we went to Thespian Convention yes. here in Dallas, which was really fun. We were all like, we want to stay at the Omni Hotel. And you were like, we're not staying at the hotel.
I was like, you know how expensive that is?
Yeah.
Like, I have taken the kids, and we stayed at the hotel from Lakeview. But they had, like, I don't remember how much did y'all pay. Do y'all remember? Or
I don't remember. I know we rented a van.
Yeah.
To drive.
Drive y'all every day.
Yeah. And that's all I remember. I don't remember paying for anything.
Did y'all not pay for it?
I know we didn't have to pay to go to National Thespian.
No, the district.
Because
Because you advanced. Yeah. So I was like, heck yeah.
Yes.
Yes, because that was a piece of.
yeah. So
let me just say that, like, when I take a student now, I say that just if we don't raise money however we raise money for it, that expect to pay $450 to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, like, your hotel and your festival fees. And that's about it. So I was like, y'all, it's expensive.
It is really expensive.
And I hate having to charge them. But we also, like, I go, expect to pay this. And usually I can get $100 knocked off with fundraisers.
Yeah.
But, like, and mainly it's those kids that really, like, theaters, like, they're like, theater life.
Theater's my life.
Or they want to audition in college.
Mm, yeah.
So these are the kids that are, like, hardcore, and they're going to, where there's a will, they're going to find it. There's a will, there's a way. So, and thespians, this year is virtual. I have one student that's really interested, and so she'll do it. She's also auditioning for college for stage management. So that makes sense.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of my kids were like, I can do a lot of research online and find sort of the same thing. And I was like, I do not disagree.
Yeah.
Because the in-person is really...
It's such an experience. Mm-hmm. I learned so much when we went to international. I keep saying that.
It's okay.
International, when we went to nationals. I learned so much because you have, like, these little workshops. You don't just go there and, like, compete. You get to learn a bunch of stuff.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I learned so much. I learned so much about, like, special effects, makeup and stuff, and, like, stage management and stuff. Mm-hmm. So much fun. That was a whole trip.
It was.
Because it was also monsoon season during that time, too. So we delayed us leaving, like,
yes.
three different times. And then eventually we're like, all right, we're going at this time. And
that's it. We got to go because otherwise...
Yeah.
And yes, I drove
I drove
the van 12 hours from Dallas to
Lincoln,
Nebraska. In my mind, I'm like, Lincoln, Nebraska? What?
Why?
Like, there's not even, like, an airport in Lincoln, Nebraska. You have to, like, fly into another place and then still drive another hour or two. I'm like, this is the point of this?
What?
Like, could we
and
not?
And there's nothing the entire drive. It's like corn through all of Nebraska.
I know. And some of y'all children slept a lot of the times. So I was like, someone has to keep me occupied because I'm bored. This is so boring. Like, Oklahoma, nothing. I don't even know what's after Oklahoma. Kansas, who knows?
Yeah, Kansas. And Kansas is nothing.
Nothing. And then, like, you get to Nebraska and it's just corn.
Corn and a bunch of, like, signs like, don't have an abortion. Like, that's all I remember.
Oh my gosh, there were those signs.
Yeah, totally in the middle of the cornfield.
And you're like,
what? Nobody's here. Why are you preaching this right here?
I mean, what?
What?
Why?
Yeah.
Why exactly? You're like, what kind of... I was like, why do you have to tell your ladies about this?
Right. And in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, literally nowhere.
Fun trip.
Though. Oh, yeah. We went because we did a piece from Madea.
Yeah.
When you said that earlier, I was like, oh, here we go. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I was like, I knew the script real well. I've also done that same script for UIL.
Really?
Yeah. My first year teaching high school, I did it. And I got all the way to regionals.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the furthest you've been as regionals?
Yeah, regionals.
We went to area, right?
Yes. Y'all were the level right there.
We were so close. We were so alternate. Close.
Yes.
Yeah, because you have your first three, right,
mm-hmm.
that are advancing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have alternate, so if something happens with one of them.
Yeah, I think it was two back then.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was two, and we were third. And I was like, Oh, so close.
So close.
So close.
Because it's, depending on what school you go to, right? It's zone.
District.
District. By district.
Area. Yeah, by area. District. Area. Region. Region. State. Yes.
So we were...
That's it felt like we were competing every other day.
Yeah, it did.
And we literally did at one point. We did zone in the district, right? Like the day, right. The next day.
Yeah.
Cause I remember like literally we had no time to work things. So I pulled Bailey and Michael out into a courtyard randomly to work something.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that though.
It was like, literally, I need you. And then some other groups would walk past and I was like, we're working scenes. I was like,
and we, so for Iris, we were at Grayson County College, yes. Right? And that's where we lost.
Yes. And then we ate our feelings.
Yes. Yes, at Brahms.
That's the thing. I was like, you know what?
We're just gonna
eat your feelings. I was always like, here are the options. We can go eat our feelings somewhere after, or we can just go home.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna
Everybody was always like, let's just eat our feelings.
Let's just eat our feelings. We had Brahms, McDonald's, any place where y'all can get some ice cream.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A. We went to Chick-fil-A. Oh, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A was always a go-to. Y'all were like, oh, there's Chick-fil-A there.
Let's go. Yeah.
Oh, there's a Starbucks.
Let's go.
Yeah. I don't know how many Starbucks runs we made.
Too many. Yeah. But, so the next year when we went with Sparrows, we also, it was either zone or by district. One of the two, we went to Grayson again, and we were all like, here we go. Like,
we're cursed.
And it's one of the most amazing feelings to be like, to know you're advancing.
Yeah.
But while you're sitting there waiting, you're just like,
oh yeah. It's like the calm before the storm, but also like, it's not calm at all. Opposite, actually. Etch sketch that conversation. No, it is like the car revving up.
Yeah.
And you're either going to go and hit the gas or you're going to stall out.
Yeah.
And that's that, like, that adrenaline. And, like, there are times where I'm like, I always say is like, I would love to advance. Do I necessarily need to advance?
Yes. No.
Sometimes I'm like, yes, we do because we're not done telling this story. But then, you know, sometimes I'm like, I'm okay. Okay, not advancing.
Yeah.
I would love to. Of course I'd love to. I'm not doing UIL thinking, I'm just going to do an okay-ish play.
Yeah.
No, like, my goal is, like, yes, I want to go to state. That would be awesome. But, like, also, you know, your goal should be also to put a great show on.
Yeah.
Tell the story. Mm-hmm. Love doing it.
Work Double hashtag Meraki.
Meraki. Oh, yeah, Meraki! When you come up with weird sayings and people, and you
people
go,
are like,
what is the Meraki? It's like, it's our thing.
It was on our shirts too, right?
Yes.
On the back. People were always like, what is that?
I was like, it's our own thing.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah. It's all fine. It's great. Nah,
and it's also like, y'all would get all tense and everyone would hold hands and stuff. And then, you know, like.
How do they do the announcement, right? Is it. They do who's advancing first?
It really depends, but usually they do all the advancing, and then sometimes they announce alternate, and sometimes they don't. But usually you get something.
Yeah.
So it kind of just depends on your contest manager and how they like to do it. And sometimes, I've been in one place where they gave alternate out first, and then I was like, I don't know if I like that.
I think that's what they did
at
Area. Right?
I remember
being like, alternate, and then he said Roy City. I was like,
oh.
That's the worst.
Gosh.
But that one felt like okay. Like I wasn't sad about it. Like with Iris, we were all in hysterics with Iris. We were all like crying so hard.
He was like, it's okay.
It's fine. It's all right.
It's all right. We're going to be fine. Your heart gets like so into it.
Yeah.
I always loved when judges afterwards when we were getting critique would say, I could tell that y'all loved telling
that's
story.
One of the biggest compliments ever.
It's my favorite to get. Anytime, like, I was like, you can tell me all the other stuff was terrible. As long as you tell them that my kids were enjoying it, then yes, win.
Yeah.
Win. I win. I win! Forget all those other, they advance, I win.
Win. Because it gets tricky when you go up because you're competing against schools that aren't, like, that may be, like, richer than your school, kind of.
Sometimes you also, like, every school's in its own particular state of, like, money and situation, and we're all different, and sometimes you will go against someone that will have all the bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
And the bells and whistles are nice, but sometimes just the simple acting is just fine.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have anything crazy in Sparrows.
Mm-mm. We had a giant Nazi flag, and that's about it.
Yes, it was real interesting. If you go back on, like, my Instagram, I go, what am I doing during spring break? I'm making a Hitler Youth flag. Yeah. And people are like, what? And I was like, it's for a play.
I remember you telling us that you were, because, like, it gets dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Toting it around everywhere. You told us that you were cleaning it.
I was like, I had to clean the flag.
I could only imagine, like, people in, like, your apartment complex or something, like, looking in. They're like, girl? Hey,
and, what's and up? And I had to, because, yeah, I can't, what, things you can't order on a school district computer. Yes. A Hitler Youth flag. And so I had to create a Hitler Youth. I also didn't want to put it on anybody's watch list.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not
for I'm just going to make it.
And, like, explaining to the fabric lady what, because they always ask you, what's this for? And I was like, well, I'm doing a play. Well, I'm making actually, a flag. A flag of what? Hitler Youth.
And then Canada.
Silence. Yeah. I mean, I could have said
Canada. You could have been like, Canada.
Yeah, Canada. And I had a hand paint. Like, the swastika.
Oh, yeah.
And it took me a while, like, because I was like, wait, if it's one way, then it's, like, a different symbol.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh,
crap. Yeah, just doing it, like, perfectly.
Yeah, I, like, got out painter's tape and, like, a level. And I, like, okay, that looks good. And, that looks good. Okay, that's good. And I was like, it was huge. Yeah. It draped.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, and all, we had that, some palettes, UIL set.
We had a strong ensemble, though, yeah. Which is one of the things that draws you into at least one-act plays. Mm-hmm. If they have a huge ensemble starting out, you're, like, immediately drawn in. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. And then we just had our basic LED lights that we just made some good choices.
Yeah.
And we had some cool, like, ensemble work.
Oh, yeah, the human swastikas.
We had the human swastikas, which, you know, like, was, like, math and a puzzle. And,
everybody's like, wait, I go this way. Wait,
you go that way. And then, like, once we figured out the lights, because we at one point we got the lights so that it shined up and you would cast them on the psych. And I was like, oh, that's so good and creepy. Yes.
It looked so good. I wish I had, like, a recording of it and I could watch it, because I was always backstage, so I never got it to watch it.
I have pictures online of it, and the pictures do real good justice.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, because I like me a tableau. I like me a picture at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it was
the just... The end was so good. There's a video of the end. I've seen that.
I
the ending with the gas chamber where they...
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, yeah. We were practicing it. I put it online. I was like... Also, when I clean out, like, my phone, I'll post a bunch of old stuff online because I'm trying to clean out my phone, but I still want these. Yeah. I'm like, well, I'll just post that randomly online, and I'll post that online, and I'll post... Okay. People are like, what is all this old stuff?
Going down memory lane?
Yes, I am. You know, that... And that was literally, like, that was... We did that for the last... No, maybe we didn't. Maybe we did it for... District? No, we didn't do it for district because we only had a day between zone and district.
Yeah, we
did
it for
by. We changed it, I think, for by district.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all were not in costume. It was just a rehearsal, and, like, I was like, oh, we saw this. I heard, like, someone else I had known had done something cool with baby powder, and I was like, maybe we could do something with this. And I literally was like, here it is. Y'all go do something and figure out an ending. And that ending was just so pretty.
It was so pretty.
It looked like they were breathing. Crying. I know. Yeah. I was like, I need you.
That's the best when you make them cry.
You're I made you feel. I made you feel emotions. How does that feel? Good.
Good. There was one point... We couldn't do the baby powder, though, right? We went to a competition, and they said no baby powder because of the curtains or something.
It was a possibility that we couldn't. Oh, okay. We did get to do it.
Okay, cool.
But they were, like, small, and, like, if it's dirty, then you have to clean it, and it's part of your setup and strike. And I was like, okay, we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because it looks so good.
It looks so good.
It looks so good. And I was like, yes. Yes, I love what y'all did there. Keep it.
Keep it. Awesome. Do it exactly that way.
Do it that way again and again and again and again.
What do you think is the most frustrating part about being a director sometimes?
When I give the note over and over again and it's like they go, yeah, I got it. You don't got it.
Obviously you don't.
And they like repeat the same mistake over and over again.
Hmm.
Like, you know, a simple thing of like mispronouncing a word. And I was like,
please.
Or, like, I was like, I'm giving you this note because then that scene would be even better than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, are people trying to, reason with me about notes? Or, like, well, this an excuse, like, well, see, someone had not done that, and so that's why I was late, and let's see, and, like, I was on my period, so, like, I couldn't get the emotions, and I was, like, opposite, because when you're on a period, all the emotions.
You can do it, I promise. You can do it.
And, like, that sort of excuses, and I was, like, you're really kind of, you are what you're saying. When people give excuses for, like, performance, like, I didn't do this because, I was, like, you're degrading yourself more than anything. I was like, yeah. You have the ability. Like, my big thing, like, I've been telling my kids, I was like, this year, real big, that you are enough.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the skills and the abilities within you to have amazing performances and get through the day and be a great person. It's just, you have to believe it, mm-hmm. and you have to own what you do, and you have to go in full force.
Yeah.
So, you are enough. That's, like, I the first day of school that I had my production class online before some of them came back physically. I was like, just remember, guys, y'all are enough. Y'all can do this. Y'all are amazing. It's Pep Talk by Stone. And so, I was like, everybody has the ability to perform.
Mm-hmm.
We all just have different things that may hinder us sometimes. And we kind of have to get out of our own way.
Yeah.
And I have seen people go from, like, shy, nothing, like, I can do nothing, to being the most amazing performers.
Yeah.
And the just seeing them grow is so amazing. And I was like, you know it's good when you make me cry.
Yeah.
Well, like, I've seen the show a million times, but you had a great moment and you, like, made me cry.
So there you go.
So there you go. You're amazing. So, like, know that. And, like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You are enough. You have the ability to do all the things.
Yeah.
You could do it. Do it.
Yeah, you're not afraid to make somebody run the scene over and over again until they get it.
You're going to get it.
Yeah.
Eventually. And if you don't, we'll come back to it and we'll do it. We'll try tomorrow.
Yeah, that's how it was for Medea, because I remember there was this one part where Annabelle was supposed to slap me, and we could not get this slap done because we were faking it. Like, we could not get it done. We were sitting out in the courtyard in Lincoln, Nebraska, and you're like, again, do it again, do it again. And then eventually we were just like, you know what, just actually slap her. And then she was doing that, and that just was not working either.
You know, and that's the thing is I, like, some things will be all great in your head. Oh, yeah, that's gonna be amazing.
Yeah.
But then you go to do it,
and then
and you're like, no. And that's the thing is that, like, as a human, not just as a director, that, like, I have now been real comfortable saying, well, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, that, let's not do that.
Yeah.
That does not look good. Like, I thought it was, but no.
No.
No. I made a choice, not a good choice.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's okay for you to make wrong choices and choices that don't work.
Yeah.
Because then you can figure out what does work.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and I think that's one big thing that a lot of young actors don't realize is that, like, you know, people go, oh, make big choices. And I was like, literally make big choices.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's the, like, a choice that doesn't fit, you made that choice.
Yeah.
And then you can go, okay, well, that just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And making those choices are, you just, if you just have that sort of confidence, like, I'm making this choice, I'm going to do it, I'm going to go for it. Like, shows that you're really willing to try, you know. I'd rather have someone try that tries real hard than the most talented person that's lazy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was like, don't waste your talent by being lazy, because people don't want to work with lazy.
No, they don't.
Nah.
Would you say that you think confidence is one of the, like, top things an actor can have then?
Yeah, confidence. A willingness, exuberance to try, and willing to make a fool out of yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially in rehearsal, that's the time to try everything.
Yeah.
Try everything, because you never know, like, what magic is going to happen. I love sending my kids out into a hall and go, hey, I have to work this scene. Go and try running this scene. Block that scene for me. Go ahead, do it.
Yeah, and then show me.
And then show me. And then, because y'all, like, this is collaborative. Theater's so collaborative. It is not a single person.
Mm-hmm.
I hate saying it's my show. It's our show. This was our moment. We worked together. We all worked on it together. And, you know, in middle school, they don't get that yet. And then when they get to high school, you kind of have to get them used to making those decisions and trying and realizing that, like, oh, some of my stuff they like. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because your brain, you have a brain, and you probably have a lot more, when we have two brains, much more cool stuff.
Even better, yeah.
Four brains, five brains, all the brains. Bring all your brains, bring all your imagination, come and make some choices. Make some choices vocally, physically, emotionally, when you can touch people, you know, interact with your fellow actors.
When COVID is over.
When COVID is, like, not that a thing anymore, hopefully.
Hopefully soon.
Interact with each other and have those moments, and don't be afraid to be vulnerable. And I mean, that's another thing. Just as a society, we're not used to being vulnerable for each other.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No, I felt like I'm not perfect, because I'm also like I can be not vulnerable to people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that, like, I can be my worst and best self all at the same time with.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And, you know, when I work with students, I hope, like, of course I'll see the good, because they know teacher, director, but I'm, you know, like, if I see the, like, the bad, like, the crying, I, like, cry, baby, cry.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'll be your shoulder when you can be close to me. I can be the shoulder.
Yeah.
Figuratively and, literally when we can. Like, I've had kids, you know. I've had people call me crying.
Yeah.
I've had people text me like, I just need someone to talk to. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be the ear.
Yeah.
So and
I'll be the mom.
I'll be the mom. Or just an ear. Sometimes you just need someone to talk to. I was like, do you feel better now? And they're like, yeah usually I do.
Yeah.
I was like, I will never, like, in my mind, I was like, I don't want anybody, like, you don't have to cry in front of me. Like, I'm not saying that. Like, as a director, I was like, but if you need, like, if we have this conversation about this very important scene and it leads you to crying, you're okay to cry.
Yeah.
I will never make fun of anybody because of crying.
That was the number one thing that I didn't like doing in theater, because I felt like I was so exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You made us do those, oh my God, what are they called? The Rasha boxes?
Oh yeah, the Rasha boxes.
I hated that. You could step in there and you would just start crying and feeling, and I was like, I can't do this in front of everybody. Like, what?
I think, you know, so Rasha boxes is, like, it's basically a 3x3 square, so 9 boxes,
mm-hmm.
and each inside is a core emotion. And we would do this on paper or on, like, poster boards and put it in a grid. And the kids would write down things that would, like, bring something to them for that emotion, whatever that may be. And the idea is that you could step into the box and look down at all these words and
Start feeling something.
And then, but you had to be able to step out of the box and be able to let it go.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was there, I was there. I couldn't
like,
get out of it.
And we're not getting out. And it's just an activity to try to find some true emotions. And it is hard to break
down and
feel things in front of people. Even if you, like, totally trust and love them.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we're all humans. We want to show the best.
Yeah.
Of, like, who we are, and that's fine too. Like, that is so fine. And it is that hard to just drop the things and be the 100% vulnerable true selves. Mm-hmm. Because, like, are we, like, even when we're by ourselves, are we 100% truly vulnerable? I don't know. I mean, there are times where we have vulnerable moments.
Yeah.
And it's okay not to be, like, a crying blob feeling all the emotions all the time. Because sometimes, you know, you're in a court of law. You don't need to be crying about your cat that you're thinking about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's just trying to, like, tap into those emotions. And it is, as I say, it is hard for a lot of people.
It's very hard, yeah.
It's either you, like, get stuck in the emotion, a lot of, like, would happen. Like,
yeah.
Or they couldn't get their giggles out or their laughter out.
You feel so weird. And I've always been told that if you feel weird, you're doing it right. Like, if you feel
awkward and different, and it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And as I say, if we don't have those moments where we're not feeling awkward and, like, this is new, then we're not learning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll always want to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to, like, that's why, like, I probably want to go and get another degree in arts administration. That's, like, my goal. So, I always want to learn, and I'm always learning. I want to learn new techniques. I want to, like, you know, I want to improve myself so I can improve my students' lives And that's always, like, been my goal. And yeah, that's my hope for.
I think you do a really good job at that. I mean, I know it's been, like, however long, but okay. I was definitely, whenever I was a freshman, I was I always tell everybody that I was, like, an Evan Hansen. I was very shy and very reserved, and I didn't want to, like, do anything outside of my comfort zone, but then I found theater, and, like, you don't push people to the point that they're, like, in tears and they're like, I can't do it. You push them just enough so that they are right outside their comfort zone, and then that's how they find... Mm-hmm. Like, all the things that they need to find. Like, I would not know how to talk to anybody if it weren't for theater.
I remember. You wouldn't order for yourself.
No, I still... No, I do now, but, like, it lasted a while. Like, I was like, I can't order for myself. Please, somebody else go do it.
Yeah, and that pushing outside your comfort zone, I don't want... Like I said, I don't want people to cry. No yeah. need to cry. Like, you want to cry, do cry, but, like, I'm not forcing you to cry. I don't want you to pull it into yourself or pull out something that you don't want to pull out.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, our kids, my kids that have, like, my, like, you know, these kids that I work with.
Yes.
Like, whatever they're doing, I feel like going through the theater program that we were in was... helpful to them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Like Victor, who is like doing, I think he wants to work for the television part of the military, like, and he's like, and he's been an MC for awards and stuff because he's such a great speaker. He has the best voice.
He does.
I love his voice. I've always loved Victor's voice.
Yeah,
and he's so good at like playing all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, Josiah is so outgoing with his community work that he's doing in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And just everybody that's off doing what they're doing, you know, I hope that, you know, stuff that we did in theater helped them improve as a person in whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I always just hope that when I leave a program or whenever, or the kids leave my program, either mm-hmm. way, that they felt like they got something out of it. Not necessarily, you know, the grades and the credit for the class, but, like, that they have gotten something from it that has improved their life.
Yeah, I mean, I got friends, and I was not a very good person at making friends, so that was a big thing for me. And I really loved, like, before a show or, like, when we would always have these moments of, like, we were all doing so bad in rehearsal, we couldn't get it together. And then you would bring everybody together and be like, look, you guys got to, like, talk with each other. We're going to do some, like, group bonding activities. And then right after that is when everything picked up again. And those moments were really touching. And, like, I liked, we did, like, obstacle courses with, like, the set pieces and stuff.
You had to get across the stage using, like, three set pieces with two other people.
Yeah. Just, and we, like, all had to, like, stand on stuff, something.
Pick
and, like,
something out.
Yeah.
I think we played Red Rover at one point, which was dangerous because it just was.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, the sitting down and, like, you know, the checking.
Everybody crying.
Yeah. You know, there's days where we're, like, if you didn't know this about you, and, like,
everybody confesses their darkest things and cries, and then we all hug at the
and
end.
And then it's like, and then love.
Yeah.
And you know, like, the, you know, you'll play music in the dressing room and getting ready.
And the bus rides to and from.
And the bus rides and all that jazz. And,
all that jazz. There we go.
Again. I'm sorry. It's a habit. And just those little moments of where we could sit down and, like, have conversations and. Many a times where, like, I don't have it in my current school. Like, I had an actual office that I could go into.
Yeah, close the door.
And close the door if I needed to. But, like, I mean, I kept it open pretty much most of the time, unless I was usually on the phone or having a private conversation.
Yeah.
But, like, people coming in is like, oh, let's talk about it. And I was like, oh. And, you know, trying to, like, and I want to make sure that, like, y'all had an integral part of putting on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I'm the only person as an adult taking this department on.
Yeah.
So I had to have buy-in from y'all to help me. Because otherwise I was like, I cannot do this by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could go back to teaching by myself.
Really? Yeah.
As it to say, my first year teaching with a partner, train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Train wreck.
Yikes.
Train wreck. And then I got a partner that I teach with now. His name is Robert, and they call him Grandpa sometimes.
Shout out to Robert.
Shout out to Robert. And like, he does all the technical stuff. He's really nice. Like, he plays the good cop real good, but he, and I was like, I'm the mean mom sometimes. But we're in a good place that I don't have to do everything.
Yeah, and that's really nice. And that's like, really nice. You're not a single mother anymore.
Yeah, I'm not a single mom anymore. But not in a romantic way. Yeah, it's like your grandpa's taking care of you. He's like my dad.
Yeah. Yeah, you always made sure that you, like, made a safe place for us to come. We had the little green room. We would all come in there and, like, eat lunch or just sit in there sometimes. And we had, like, did we have, like, a mini fridge or a microwave in there?
Yeah, I think y'all did. Y'all were in charge of cleaning it, though. And that's why you didn't get clean a lot. I think we threw away one microwave because y'all let it get nasty. They really? Got let it get real nasty.
Ew, nasty.
And the couches, one of the couches in there was one of my old couches that I was getting rid of. Mm-hmm. And we painted the big old thespian symbol, which I was like, I was so proud of that. Like, it looked good, yo.
Yeah, it did.
It looked good. We projected it and we traced it out and we went back and we painted it.
You had like little like boxes for us during
cubbies,
one act. Yeah.
Cubbies and stuff like that.
That was a good place to go and just, like, sit.
Yeah.
Like, when you were so overwhelmed with school, you'd just go in there and sit.
Mm-hmm. I tried to make it, like, because when I first got there, it was just a storage closet.
Everything was, like, I remember seeing that before you went there. I don't know why I was there, but it was so bland. It was so empty.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, no.
And then I went in there after you had been there, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it looks totally different now.
I was like, they need a space. Unfortunately, my kids right now don't have a space that is like the green room. I know, I was like, how nice that was. But it was just like, I was like, I gotta make this comfortable for them. We live here, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, these kids live
literally
here.
Yeah.
And, like, it was nice for me, too. Like, there'd be times where, like, it'd be my conference, and I could go sit on the couch, like, with my laptop or something.
We had a TV at once.
We did have a TV at once, and sometimes the boys would bring their video games for some in-between rehearsal stuff, and I'd be like, okay.
Time to go.
And I'd be like, I'm going to unplug it. No, I'm going to unplug it.
And then,
oh, Miss Doan. I was like, that's why we have a clock, y'all.
Yeah.
And I would go in there. Sometimes what I would do so I wouldn't take it home. I mean, I took a lot of stuff home. I worked a lot of home.
Yeah.
Is I would, like, after for casting, I would sit in there by myself. And I would just work on casting, put up paperwork out. And if I couldn't still make a decision, then I might take it home.
Yeah.
But I did do a lot at my house. I was like, it became partial storage. And then also the theater department became partial storage for me. Like, my couch is still there.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't need it. Like, yeah. I'm gonna get new couches when I move. So I was like, just keep it. I don't need this. Yeah. Like, and even at my new school, I'm kind of like, this is old furniture department can have it.
Oh, well.
It really becomes an extra storage place because, you accumulate a lot as a director. Like, all the costumes that I know that I personally bought, that from my own money that I wasn't reimbursed, those were mine. So I took them and I left.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's certain pieces that are mine. I took them because they are great pieces. That's why I bought them. And I just thrift them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
That's the way to do it.
I was like, one person, I don't have time to make all the costumes.
Yeah.
Like, it is impossible. And I, like, the only sewing machine I had was my personal one. And basically, when I did use it, I basically destroyed it.
Oh, no.
And so, like, and she's dead. And I used it up there. And then, luckily, my new school district, at the end of last year, right before we left, I had ordered two sewing machines. They're still, like, I have them out of the box, but I haven't set them up.
Oh.
Last year, we did a lot of sewing. We did a lot of costuming.
I know how to sew a button because you taught us how.
It was like, this is important.
Yeah.
In general, just life, this sewing a button.
Yeah, I had to hem something and I was like, oh, I know how to do this.
And these are just this little skills that you can, like, learn from working in theater.
Do you think you'll direct forever?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I know that I also, like, I write, so.
Yeah.
I have, like, 4 or 5 plays in my head that I haven't even started writing. I have some outlines, but I was like, I need to start writing. Because that would, like, I'm going to, you know, I'll keep being in an education theater probably until technical retirement.
Yeah.
And then I'll, I'm not going to pump out a play a day or anything like that. Yeah. But, like, I'd like to supplement my life with writing plays and hopefully being published.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two that people really like. The Do You Count?
Mm-hmm.
About the girl or slash boy, you could cast it both ways, with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Never Forget, which is about 9/11.
Yes.
I finished it.
Really?
One of my students, year before last, did it for her student direct.
Oh, I love that.
It was really nice. So I have those two pieces that I really like that are one acts, like 40-minute plays. Mm-hmm. And I tend to like to write in 40-minute plays.
It's easier that way.
So I was like, one, not as much pages. Two, also, like, in my mind, I was like, I live in Texas. Who needs plays but UIL people?
Yeah,
so I was
exactly.
like, even a UIL play?
Yeah.
And someone was going to do You Count last year, but we had started the contract process and mm-hmm. then they left their school midway through the year. So they didn't do it. And I was like, well,
thanks.
Nothing. So, but whatever. I mean, I really like writing plays.
Yeah.
Again, I like the telling of the story.
Yeah. That's the best part.
And, you know, there's so many like little stories and things that need to be told and people to see. So, you know, you're a writer.
Yeah.
You
I
know that.
Write, yeah. I went from plays. I was working on a play about, oh my God, Dr. Mangala. Is that his name? He was in, he liked twins. So he would take twins.
Yeah. Was he Nazi Germany?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was working on a play with him I was working with him on him. And then I just stopped writing it. And then I moved over to screenplays, and I think I really, really like to do screenplays more than anything else.
Yeah.
Because I was doing books. I was like, I'm going to be a New York Times bestseller one day. So I wrote a lot of books. And then I was like, oh, I can do plays. So I wrote plays. And now I'm on the screenplays. And I think that's where I like it.
Yeah. Everyone likes their own kind of version. I don't write necessarily for screenplays because I have the mind of a theatrical director. So I was like, oh, if they could do this and that could be this. But like my biggest thing is like I want to tell real stories with real relationships
mm-hmm.
where there is like a point. I want the point to be made at the end of this. I want that theme to be driven home. Mm-hmm. However that's driven home, whatever style. Like I've got a suffragette play that I want to write.
I love that.
I know. I'm like, yes, queen. I don't know if I like it yet. I like the content, but I'm not sure how, like, I want to write one about service animals.
Okay.
Not emotional support. I don't like emotional support animals because they're not, they don't have to be trained.
Right.
They can be a bad dog and be an emotional support. And I was like, that's not the same.
No.
Not the same. Like, service animals get lots of training. And therapy dogs also get a lot of training.
Yeah.
So, something like that. And then, there was one other. But I'm just, drawing a blank. So, there's pieces that I know I want to write. And I wrote that Henry VIII one, which I still need to go back and look at all y'all's. And you gave me some notes.
Yeah,
so, I was like, I need to go back and do those notes. And really look at them a little more, but I haven't had a chance. I keep forgetting about it. I was like, I finished it. That's right. I did finish that.
What's your process of writing like? Are you... Because for me, I'm such a big procrastinator in the writing part. Like, I'll have the idea in my head, and I'll write down, a bullet thing of all the ideas that I have. And then when it comes down to actually putting it on paper, I'm like, I can't. I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. I pick that theme. So, then what I'll do is, I'll do a very rough, outline.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will do, I've got to, I just use the notes on the notes app.
Yeah.
But I also am going to, I'm going to move to note cards, and I'm going to put scenes and what happens in the scene.
Like a storyboard?
Yeah, like a storyboard. And I'm going to show my kids, I'm going to start writing that suffragette one,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to keep that board up in my classroom for them to see my process.
I really like that.
So, but I'm just going to put the scenes up in their little cards and what happens in, bullet points of what these events are going to happen in the mm-hmm. scene. And then Then I just, like, pick, like, I usually try to always start with the first scene. And sometimes mm-hmm. I'll pick the first scene and I'll pick the last scene, because to me those are the most important.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I'll generally sort of write those first with dialogue. And I like to pick, I like to use music, like...
Music really influences the way that I write.
So, like, I haven't had a chance to get more in depth in it. I want to make sure that these songs are copyright free. There's a bunch of suffragette songs and I want to include that. So I haven't started that research for that yet. So, so pulling stuff from that to kind of like bring in the end and the beginning and stuff like that. And I just sort of work at scenes
mm-hmm.
and hopefully I can, after I do the first and the end, then I can kind of go through the middle. But then yeah. I can also, like stop and then, like, move things around
yeah.
and stuff like that. And I just start writing. And I try to, like, think about, like, why, like, what words are standing out, what things are standing out. And that also influences, like, the title. Because usually they're untitled until I actually start writing.
Titling them. Is the number one thing I'm the worst at. I'm like, I can't think of it. Do I want it to be cliche? Do I want it to be, like, genius, like, what do I want here?
Yeah. I always feel like that's, like, the thing that, like, people go, oh, I gotta put a title to it. I go, why? Why do you gotta start with the title?
Yeah,
You're gonna put yourself in this little box when you just give yourself that title, because then you're gonna be like, well, how does that relate to the title? Make the title after.
The title is normally the very last thing that I do.
And even then, you may go through three titles, four titles, five titles. Yeah. You're like, do you like that title? Is that a good title? Does it make sense?
That's what I did. Like, I did the storyboard, and then the very last thing was the title. And it's, like, the proudest thing I've ever done.
You're like, yeah.
There's that quote, I don't know who says it, it's like, there's no joy in writing, but there is joy in having written.
Yes.
And I definitely relate to that.
Oh my gosh, yes. Because, like, there's so many times when I was writing Never Forget, that literally took me 4 years to finish.
Really?
Because, like, I started writing it during, I helped with the debate team. And I would be, like, either another driver or a chaperone or sometimes another judge.
Yeah.
And, like, I had a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
And I just was started writing it during some of those the first year. And then I just became uninspired by it. And then I just put it away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until my student, for their senior directs, she wrote her own play. Because I'm always about, I want y'all, I like, students should write. Y'all need to write. And because y'all have so many great stories that you're holding in. I was like, let those explode onto the page, please, so that they can come to life. And she had written a play. It was amazing. I loved it. The only problem was, it was sort of about her, she's bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, pride, love. but she also was a senior, and school still had another month or two. And it was kind of sort of her story, and her parents didn't necessarily know.
Mm.
And me and the principal, like, I make all the kids, they have to get their approved through the principal, because I was like, you have to go through the same process I have to. I have to get all my plays approved by our principal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to have a conversation with her, and me and the principal, we kind of agreed, and I agree, that for her safety, we were not going to do her play.
Mm.
And it was an amazing piece. Both the principal, who was a former English teacher, and I were like, this is a great piece. I totally agree with our principal that it for your safety, you only have a month left. We don't want you to get, like, kicked out or anything else, especially since you haven't talked to your parents about this. This is not the best. Like, let me spring it on them with this play. And I told her that it would be great for a screenplay, because I thought it was more, like, screenplay.
Okay.
So, and I told her, I was like, you should do this. Go, like, once you graduate, and you are on your own, making your own money and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Again, sorry.
All that jazz.
Do this play. Find some people. Do it as a performance. Do it as a, like, make it as a screenplay and get them to record it. Even if you do this, like, little YouTube version on your phone, do it, because it's a great piece. Unfortunately, just, like, in the high school, in the education process, we're trying to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we don't, not all about that pride life. We are. But, so, she needed a piece to direct. Because that year I was like, we're not paying for royalties for these senior directs. Everybody writes their own piece.
Yeah.
And they did. And she didn't have a piece. So was like, I'm going to give you my piece. And I gave her the first part of it. And I was like, let me go home. And I power wrote for her over a weekend and gave it to her. And I was like, there's the rest of it. And I told her, I was like, if you want to make some adjustments, go ahead. Just know, I was like, I'm dyslexic. That my struggle is real. Mm-hmm. All this type stuff. And I go, yes, that sounds and looks amazing. And then someone else will read it. And I go,
maybe not.
Maybe not. Like, I've flipped some words, or I used the wrong spelling, or like I forgot an article in there somewhere. Yeah. And I'm like, the wrong there.
Brain's going faster than my hands.
Yeah. Right, so now. I told her, like, change anything you want. She didn't change a lot. She did change a couple words and stuff like that. And I gave her free carbo lunch on it. And I just power finished that one.
That's the show that we did a piece for our shorts, right?
Yes. Y'all did.
Me, Cheryl, and Lydia.
Yes. The one about the mom who works the Pentagon or the towers. Yeah. Couldn't remember which one it was at the time.
Whichever one.
Because it's changed.
Yeah.
It was either the towers and one, and then the other was, I think for when I last worked on it, it was the Pentagon.
Because
I wanted to make sure that I covered all the places that were hit.
Yeah.
So
I remember reading a draft of it, and I loved it. So.
Yeah. And it was...
I didn't get to go see it. And just do it again, I'll go.
Do it again, you know, like, I'll do it again. But it's a great, like, that little scene that y'all did was just simple. It's the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The morning of the attacks. And it's just that, like, everyday life, but surrounded by that tragic moment. Yeah. And then it ended with the phone call.
Yeah.
And because there were so many, like, that's, I listened to some phone calls.
That's what we did backstage to get ready for our scene, is we listened to phone calls.
And it really, like.
If you need to get somewhere for a scene, you go and listen to those.
You listen to those phone calls that they made on 9/11. And so, and it was like. We just celebrated
9/11.
We were in memoriam for 9/11.
There you go.
There we go. We don't celebrate it.
No.
But, like, Patriot's Day, like, I had to, like, explain to some of my students, like, how every year I talk about it. Because I was a high school student when it happened.
I was, like, 2.
Yeah, you were babies.
I was very...
Babies.
Yeah.
Some of these kids that I have now that are 15 weren't even born yet. I know, isn't that really weird? It really hurts my head.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, I was like, y'all don't understand. There's before 9/11 and then after 9/11. Like, it's very specific. Mm-hmm. People who were alive, we remember where we were. Mm-hmm. We remember how we felt. We remember the like, couple months after, just how, like, supportive everybody was.
Yeah.
And, like, are you okay? Everybody okay? You mm-hmm. fine? You're right? Like, just that, like... You know, it's sad that the tragedy brought us together as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be how it is.
No.
But it was nice to see that. Like, to see the togetherness of our nation at that moment when everything was just totally different. Because the first real, like, major multiple places terrorist attack, thousands of people gone, missing, all in, like... I think it was 45 minutes span.
Yeah.
It was a very short span.
Very short.
And so, like, I really try to talk to kids about it. I was like, it's important that you know about this day. Don't just throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And my school that I work at, they have a pause after the, the pledge and stuff. I also don't make my kids stand for the pledge. Don't at me, people. Ooh. I go, it's your individual choice.
Don't cancel her.
Don't cancel me. But I just, like, that's your individual choice. I'm not going to force anybody to stand.
Yeah.
But I do make them pause for silence afterwards. I go, whether you pray or anything like that, this pause is important. Mm-hmm. And my school started that pause after 9/11. And they still do it today.
That's where you went to school, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It's really kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's specifically the same desk. It's definitely not the same chair.
Yeah.
But I sit at the same chair, like, desk area as my first theater director did.
That is so weird.
It is. And, like, I, like, love her to death. Her name is Rhonda Reeds Roberts. She got married.
Shout out.
She is so awesome. She literally, like, helped really ignite that, like, passion and showed me, like, how a director interacts with her students and cares mm-hmm. and, like, goes for it and stuff like that. So she really influenced me a lot. So it is really funny to sit in the same space. It totally looks different because they ripped out the carpets, thank goodness, because carpets are gross.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And the walls got painted black. They used to be, like, tan. And I was, like, in the little theater. Okay, choices. All right. Choices. But, like, I can sit and, like, think about, like, there was a couch over there, and then during lunch, Mr. Reeves would let me sit and sleep in the sleep on the couch, and sometimes my best guy friends, Angel and Blake, would come, and we would sit, and every once in a while, she'd send me out on an errand because I had a truck. I was like, when you have the only person in the theater department that has a truck, they're like,
yeah,
you can haul
somebody
the things.
Somebody had a truck.
Josiah.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
there we go.
Josiah had a truck. And his dad had a truck. Many times I was like, I need y'all's help.
Please.
And like when we would strike. When he was like, whoever's got trucks. Michael had a truck too sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be like, all right, bring the trucks to the back. We got to load everything.
Here we go.
Bring them in. Load them, take them to the shop. But yeah, so the 9/11 play was very important, so that's what I was getting around to. And also, yeah. Also, my school that I teach at is the same.
We jumped around a lot. It's okay.
It's okay. If you follow, then you follow. If you don't, it's all right. Stream of conscious.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can't keep you forever.
I mean, sadly. You can look. Okay, let's drive. Let's go.
All right. Let's go. So thank you for coming and talking to me.
No problem. I enjoyed it. It's nice catching up and remembering the things.
It's been a very long time since I can't even tell you the last time I saw you. Probably before I dropped out of high school.
He's okay.
It's okay.
He's okay. Look at you now. You're doing what you love, and that is so important. You know, yeah. All about doing what you love, because if you don't love it,
don't do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. I look forward to you coming on again. Come on as many times as you want.
We can talk about all the things. There's so many things to talk
about. Yeah, there's
about.
I feel like I've missed, but I was too engaged in conversation, so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We could always do another time. We can come back and talk about Halloween or Christmas.
Part two. Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to Disney and Universal in a couple weeks.
Really? I went to Disney World when I was like 5 and I don't remember it. And I really want to go to Universal.
If you're a Harry Potter nerd like me. It's like the Mecca. We're taking 2 days for Universal.
Really?
I was like, 2 days for Universal, 1 day at a Disney park. I was like,
yeah, who cares about Disney?
I love Disney, but Harry Potter, she's life. Forget about what J.K. Rowling says. The actual characters in that, that's what I love.
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, I don't support her. I support the characters that I fell in love with.
There you go. To make sure you don't get canceled again.
Don't cancel me again. I mean, if you cancel me, you cancel me. It's okay.
It's fine.
That could be one of those, like, series that gets canceled and everybody loves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there.
How dare you. All right, well, bye.
Bye.